free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
It's Friday, February the 21st, 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. We had Roger Stone sentenced yesterday. Reached out to George Webb, who was reporting and basically there every day of the trial and was there again yesterday. And he has some very interesting things to say. I think you're really going to find this amazing. And, of course, we've talked about the bias of so-called judge. Amy Jackson, and how she has been not only appointed by Obama, but she's been carrying water for the hard left group, shutting down requests of people to not be compelled to buy insurance that's against their religious convictions and so forth. She's a leftist judge, but we had talked about how they had rigged the jury pool. We've talked about how bizarre it is when Norm Pattis is on with me, how bizarre and unprecedented from what he's seen that a judge would put a gag order on someone after the trial has ended, after they've been convicted for months. Roger Stone has had a gag order put on him by this woman. And that is truly bizarre. You would do that if you were worried about jury tampering during the trial, but after a verdict has been returned, why would you put a gag order? How could you justify that? Well, you don't have to justify it. And George is going to be joining us to talk about what's even more amazing. You know, after we saw we report about the bias in the jury pool, how she was not doing anything about that, how they had made sure they had the venue in Washington, D.C. They would purge any Republicans, but they would allow people, even high-ranking Obama officials, on the jury. And then we found that the jury foreman was incredibly biased against Roger Stone. The vitriol and hatred that she showed for him after the sentencing guidelines were released showed that she was very biased, no question about it, and there should be a retrial. And then the fact that the judge would sentence Roger Stone, even though there is a motion before her to consider a retrial. You would think that she would do that, except this is a show trial. So we're going to talk about the exculpatory evidence that was hidden in this trial. George has a lot of information about that. In other words, evidence that would have proven Roger Stone was not guilty that was hidden by the judges in that. And I think you're going to find that very interesting. So we'll be talking about that in the next segment. He'll be joining us in the third segment of the show. In the short period of time that we have now, we look at, this caught my attention off the Drudge Report. Does the Iranian regime plan to destroy the tomb of Esther and Mordecai? And this is a famous story. I mean, it's been, even if you're not a Christian or Bible reader or Jewish, you would know this story because it's been made into movies multiple times. It's an amazing story. And, of course, the Jewish people celebrate this as Purim. It's coming up this year. March the 9th, so we're just a couple of weeks away from this. And now the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom has condemned the Iranian regime, saying that they are going to destroy this tomb of Esther and Mordecai because, again, Iran is the former Persian Empire. They built a monument to them. They said, according to covering reports, members of the Iranian Basij attempted to raid the historic tomb site yesterday in an act of revenge against Israelis' Palestinian peace plan put out by President Trump. Iranian authorities are threatening to destroy the historic tomb of Esther and Mordecai and Hamadan and convert the site to a consular office for Palestine. Well, you know, Esther and Mordecai died a long time ago. You know, they were born for such a time as that. You and I are born for such a time as this, and when we come back, we're going to take a look at the bizarre times that we are in. We're going to give you a lead up to some background information about the Roger Stone trial. I think what happened to Katie McFarland, and she's now speaking out about that, is very informative of the motivations, the political motivations for political persecution. So we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Since the beginning, Secret 12 has been one of our most popular formulas. Now we're bringing you an all-new version of your favorite formula to help you reach your energy peak. Ultra 12 from InfoWars Life takes advantage of the most effective and expensive form of B12 available, methylcobalamin, to provide you with twice the B12. Ultra 12 can help make DNA, support the body's energy production, and help produce healthy blood cells while assisting proper nervous system function. Help support your energy levels and take advantage of the superior form of B12 today with Ultra 12.
There's a new way to show your support for the InfoWars crew at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, when you buy your favorite products, you can add a donation right at the checkout. Simply open the donation option and either select a preset amount or enter a custom amount. With this brand new donation module, donating to support the InfoWars crew has never been easier. You asked, we delivered. This easy option gives you the means to donate directly to the cause. Remember, we're all part of the fight. InfoWars, brought to you by you.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
It's Friday, February the 21st, year of our Lord 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. Today we're going to be joined by George Webb, who was there every day of the trial of Roger Stone. And I think you're going to find it very interesting what he has to say about exculpatory evidence that was not allowed to be heard by the jury. And that is, of course, evidence that would have shown that Roger Stone was innocent. And he did a quick video yesterday. I saw that sent to me, and very important what he has to say. So he's going to be joining us in the next segment. Just as a background here, of course, I'm sure you've heard by now that Roger Stone was sentenced to about 3.5 years. And when I looked at this yesterday, I thought, you know, this is a sentencing game. As I said yesterday, and I've said before, when A.G. Barr came out and said, well, we're going to pull back those sentencing guidelines from 7 to 9 years, I think that is a bit excessive. And everybody flipped out, and you had the prosecutors resign, and then you had the jury foreman show her prejudicial bias and contempt for Roger Stone with what she had to say. I said at the time, I think that as if they pull that down, it's going to make it more difficult for President Trump. But understand what they're doing right now. Okay, this sentencing game is really kind of the way they sell stuff to you on TV, right? As seen on TV. How much would you pay for this package? $100? $200? Well, today you can get it for $19.95. And it's only worth 50 cents, right? That's what we're seeing here. So how much would you sentence this hardened criminal, Roger Stone, to jail for? 7 years? 9 years? We had somebody at National Review. He should go to jail for 100 years. I hate that guy, right? So you pull it up like that, and then you have Amy Berman come back, and she builds expectations. Yeah, you know, I don't know. The guidelines are the guidelines, 7 to 9 years. Yeah, they came up with that independent of me. Maybe I'll add more, because she could. Those are just guidelines. Instead, she shows her compassion, and she reduces it to just 3.5 years. Instead of the 7 to 9, she takes half of the minimum that was out there. Again, this is a tactic you see all the time, selling you junk, and they're selling you junk here. They're selling you lies. See, he doesn't, 3.5 years, is absolutely absurd, even if he had committed the crime, and he didn't commit the crime. I'm absolutely convinced of that, and I think you will be as well when you hear George Webb coming up in the next segment. But that's what's really behind this. Let me give you the background here of Katie McFarlane. And again, Katie McFarlane was there for 4 months. She was there a little bit longer than General Flynn, because they got him out in record time. Why? Because he was somebody who was going to push back against what they were doing in ISIS. You know, we just had it was about $750 million. The report just came out today. $750 million. These are weapons that we allegedly gave to our anti-ISIS allies in Syria. In Syria, where we were not invited to fight ISIS. And they just lost track of them. They don't know where they went. I think I know where they went. Do you? You think they went to ISIS itself? I mean, we got so many reports about how much money, weapons, training, personnel being flown in to Syria and so forth. Well, you know, General Flynn had pointed out from the very beginning, he says, look, this is what's happening. We're actually, you know, CIA is actually giving arms to these people. We got to stop this. When we say we're fighting them, and some people are fighting them, but then we got other people in the back door that are keeping this thing going because they want to overthrow the Syrian regime. And we've been told this for a long time, that they had a list of seven countries. You know, Wesley Clark said that. I've seen, you know, they told me, hey, this is the country we're going to first, and that one, and that one, and that one, and Syria was on the list. And so they got Michael Flynn out right away. And he needs to be pardoned as well. They destroyed his life. But let me tell you what happened to Katie McFarlane. Katie McFarlane had a 4-month stint. It began under Michael Flynn because she was under Michael Flynn. They came after her hard. She described the trauma that she experienced at the hands of Mueller's interrogators in November of 2017. Remember, they take power at the beginning of 2017. The Trump administration begins. Immediately they get Flynn out, and by November, you know, they've got, this is full-blown, the attempted coup. McFarlane said that she was at a disadvantage when she was being questioned because she no longer had access to her White House files. And they're trying to set her up for a perjury trap. She said, I am the original Girl Scout, the former Deputy National Security Advisor explained, and this is an article from amgreatness.com. Good article here. I'm the original Girl Scout. I followed all the rules. I turned in all of my files and my phone logs and my test messages and emails when I left the government, and I didn't leak to the press. Unfortunately, she said, playing by the rules is what got her in so much trouble. When the Mueller people came knocking at my door, they started quizzing me on stuff that I didn't have access to and didn't remember 100% accurately. And it allowed them to say, well, you must be lying. The FBI. Should spell that F-I-B. They gave me the distinct impression after 20, 30, 40 hours of hell that they wanted me to either plead guilty to a crime I didn't feel I committed or to talk about other people that having done things that I didn't think that they had done. McFarlane, a foreign policy and national security expert whose political career goes back to the 1970s, said that she'd had a really hard time of it and almost broke herself. At one point, I turned to my lawyer and I said, just tell me what they want to say and I'll say it. Yeah, that's exactly what they did to General Flynn. They threatened to put his son in jail. And he didn't even know that he was being interrogated initially. And according to his lawyer, they're hiding evidence, will not release it, that shows that the FBI itself said he didn't commit any crimes. Anyway, going on to McFarlane's story. McFarlane told the host that she just wanted the ordeal, which cost her hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees, to be over with. See, they have bankrupted Flynn, bankrupted Roger Stone. I don't know if she was bankrupted or not. My husband, God bless him, said, you can't do that, even if we do go bankrupt. So McFarlane decided to stand her ground. I finally said, you're going to have to charge me with the crime. At that point, they went away because I couldn't give them what they needed to spin their web. And then they moved on to the porn star queen, Stormy Daniels. McFarlane said that afterwards she felt so traumatized that she and her husband left the country. We went to the remotest part of Scotland, she said. And I just tried to think about it. I thought, what is happening to my country? This tool, which we had given the intelligence community, which is a good thing for them to use if they're tracking down mass murderers and terrorists. But they were using it for political purposes, to go after political enemies. That's exactly right. I'm from the government. I'm here to help you. Just like you see over and over again, we're going to protect your health. We're going to protect you and keep you safe. So we have to take all these things from you. Soon after, Amy Berman Jackson pronounced sentence yesterday. President Trump publicly decried Stone's conviction as unfair. Prominent Republican legislators were giving tacit support for a pardon, but Trump said he wasn't ready to act just yet. I want the process to play out, said President Trump yesterday. I think the best thing to do that's the best thing to do because I would love to see Roger exonerated. I'm going to watch the process. I'm going to watch very closely. At some point, I'll make a determination. Well, the question is Barr watching? I hope he watches this report from George Webb talking about how they didn't allow the evidence to be shown to the jury, how they covered up the lies and the framing of the FBI. That's what needs to be watched. You need to watch this. As I tweeted out yesterday about Barr, I said he needs to shut up about telling President Trump what to do. He works for President Trump. President Trump is the chief law enforcement officer under the Constitution. He didn't assume that power. He was given that power. And it's not only the power that he was given, but it's actually President Trump's duty. And Barr's duty is to clean up the Department of Justice or to clean out his desk. We'll be right back with George Webb. Stay with us.
Alex Jones here with two big announcements. Ultra 12 and Viva Mineral Fusion are both back in stock after being sold out for months. Vitamin Mineral Fusion is high quality vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and other key cofactors that are so good for you and your family, especially your children's bodies and your immune systems. Ultra 12 is the highest quality vitamin B12 taken sublingually under the tongue. It is back in stock. You can get them both individually for 40% off right now and get them together as a combo for 50% off. This makes your life so much better when you have a good multivitamin mineral that you actually absorb and as a tasty fruit punch. And of course, vitamin B12 is the bedrock foundation of energy, stamina, libido, just everything. And they're both back in stock, 40% off individually or 50% off when you get them together at InfoWarsStore.com.
The evidence is overwhelming. Coronavirus is a man-made bioweapon designed to destroy nation states, economies, and free peoples, and usher in a planetary government. This is how the globalists are striking back. Here's a Fortune headline today. Fears of global coronavirus contagion rage as 3,000 cruise ship passengers return home. And that's just in one nation. Coronavirus deals major blow to German car factories in China. They're reporting it could cut their sales in half this year. That's how major this is. Everyone needs to be prepared. 2020 is not a year to play games. InfoWars will continue to report the latest information as it comes out, regardless of the fact that the establishment will try to punish us for telling the truth. We need you to step to the plate and help spread the word about Band.Video and InfoWars.com today.
You deserve a deep, restful sleep with Knockout by InfoWars Life. Our organic formula is made from high-quality natural ingredients such as valerian root extract, L-tryptophan, lemon balm leaf extract, and melatonin. Knockout packs a powerful punch to get you through the night and achieve proper sleep. Millions of people around the world experience daytime drowsiness, but with the rapid speed of life, we need to be able to keep up the pace. Our natural mixture harnesses the power of 10 known ingredients to let your body relax and get the sleep you need. Wake up refreshed and take on the day. InfoWars Life wants to bring you a sleep support formula that goes above and beyond other leading brands at an affordable price. Get the sleep you deserve and experience the power of Knockout. Head on over to InfoWarsLife.com and say goodbye to fatigue. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Real stuff, man. We're talking about the real deal here. And I love Trump all day long, but man, I tell you, he sits here and lets these big tech people keep running roughshod over him. Everybody, I've got a problem. And we'll just take the Trump rallies over. That said, about 2 months ago, I came up with a plan that I haven't launched yet. We have a warehouse full of hundreds of thousands of stickers, 20 different stickers. Impeach the Democrats, save the Second Amendment, defend the First Amendment, InfoWars.com, and it looks like duct tape, but it's just a regular sticker. You put it over your mouth, you go to a Trump rally, and you instantly take over without even disrupting things. People say, why are you doing this? What's happening? Well, you go, well, we're being censored, and, you know, Trump won't do anything about it. And Dr. Pachinik, let me just ask you what you think, because I've not launched this yet.
It's brilliant. You've taken the very element that they try to repress you with, that silence, and made it into a weapon. You have the loudest sound of all, silence. And you know what's most disturbing to people? Silence. 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 Silence.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As I was just saying, you look at that horrific ordeal of Katie McFarlane, and her ordeal is not as bad or as long as the ordeal that General Flynn and Roger Stone have been going through. Hers ended. She said, after I got out of there, my husband and I had to go to Scotland. She said they put her through hell for 20, 30, 40 hours, she said, of constant interrogation, left her traumatized. Nearly bankrupted she and her husband, but her husband said, no, we're going to get this taken care of. It's a straight-up person who always wanted to do the right thing. And she said that they're using the power that's been given to the intelligence community. They're using it for political purposes to go after political enemies as she sat there reflecting on the ordeal that she had gone through. And that's exactly what's going on with Roger Stone. So we have joining us now is George Webb, and he has a lot of interesting things to say. He was there every day of the trial, and as he said, he was also there with a group of lawyers who were curious as to what was going on a daily basis. So I'll let him tell you about that, but it's a story. He's got exculpatory evidence that was hidden that would show that Roger Stone was innocent, but he also has some very interesting things to say about Steve Bannon, about Rick Gates, about other people who were very key in throwing Roger Stone under the bus and getting a conviction when he is innocent. So joining us now is George Webb. You can find him on Twitter, by the way, George Webb. That's George without an E at the end. It's GEORGWEBB. And you can also find him on Patreon with his name spelled out, as you would expect, Webb with two Bs. Thank you for joining us, George.
Dave, it's great to be here, and I'll get that camera a little bit, the Potomac behind me. It's great to be on your show, and I'm a big fan of yours.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It was an excellent video that I saw where you started breaking this down. I wanted you to do it for our audience. Tell us a little bit about the fact that you were there on a daily basis with these lawyers. What were you guys, of course, you're covering it as an investigative journalist, and why were they there on a daily basis?
Well, I work with the National Press Club, and so Andy Craig is the attorney who kind of runs the authors that do national security. So that's the clash, if you will. And I work with another author here in Cobb Island here on the Potomac that is a big national security guy with his dad being in the FBI working for Hoover and the CIA connections. So it's kind of like this national security group at the National Press Club. And so that's why I was there, and that's why I was meeting with some of the people who knew a lot of what was going on inside the defense team with Stone.
Okay, good. And you found out some amazing stuff that centers on Randy Credico, the drunken comedian who was at the center of this case. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, there's a video that I posted this morning to Twitter, which, remember, Roger's convicted based on the prosecution's theory that Randy Credico is not the back channel to WikiLeaks. He's convicted. Roger Stone is convicted for lying, for saying he is not the back channel. Well, mm-hmm. I published a video this morning of him at going to the National Press Club meeting, hand greeting everybody coming in and going into everybody's booth there saying, I am the back channel to WikiLeaks. It's
and that's key. That's really key because, as you point out, he is convicted for lying under oath. And what did he lie about? He lied about the fact that Randy Credico was the guy between Roger Stone and Julian Assange. And yet Randy Credico himself, and you got video of him saying that, right?
Yep. And I posted this morning. He also said it on Jimmy Dore's show twice. But then wow. Jimmy Dore actually is doing a live feed cut-in of him. There's Adam Schiff he meets with, and he meets with Nancy Pelosi, and he's sitting at the CNN table. And he's complaining about his steaks tastes like a cowboy's leather belt, and he lost two caps, trying to chew through it, the whole thing. and then he gets handcuffed, David, and thrown out for just being so obnoxious by yelling, I'm the back panel to WikiLeaks. No kidding. And again, I'm not guessing here. You can watch the video for yourself.
Yeah, we're going to play that video here because, folks, you need to see this. This is Jackson, Judge Jackson. I use the term judge lightly. She kept this from the jury. But let's play video clip number one where you can see for yourself Randy Credico admitting that he's the guy between Roger Stone and WikiLeaks. Video clip number one.
I'm just close with Assange. You don't know the guy that was the in-between guy between Assange and Roger Stone? My cousin.
That's quite a way to open.
Was that my cousin? Yes. He wants me to go around. And we're big fans of McClatchy News Service. Can I just step in?
We're a little tight right now.
You are?
Yeah, we are.
Just walk in and walk down?
Yeah, sorry. A little
And there he is, that guy Stenner, man. Congratulations. You're doing very well. Tom.
It's my wife, Kat.
Kat. I'm Randy Credico. I'm the guy that was connected to Roger Stone. You remember him? Jimmy Hoffa Jr., how are you? Hey, that's the phone, man.
How you doing?
I worked on this campaign in 97.
I wouldn't be here without him.
Where's Tom? Oh, I'm talking about Tom. What's his name? The guy was a campaigner, Jimmy Hoffa. Do you know Jimmy Dore?
No.
You should do the Jimmy Dore show. Well, I know him because I helped him the campaign in 96. All right, against a good guy. That guy, Ron Kerry. I worked on his campaign for 1 year. Humor for Hoffa, and he credits me. But I'm the guy that's connected now between Stone and WikiLeaks. I'm very close with Julian Assange. Have you seen that I got the subpoena? Are you supporting the Russiagate, the whole theory of Julian Assange helping out the Republicans, just with Assange. You don't know the guy that was the in-between guy between Assange and Roger Stone?
It's my wife, Kat.
Kat. I'm Randy Credico. I'm the guy that was connected to Roger Stone. You remember
all right,
him?
So let's,
but I'm the guy
let's get back to George here. Yeah, he says that over and over again. And, of course, he could say that that was satire, but as you pointed out, he was saying it over and over again in bars and so forth. And if Roger Stone says something about a Godfather movie, that's not over the top. It's not satire. You know, that's a threat, right?
Right. And interestingly enough, he wasn't just sitting anywhere. He was sitting at the National Press Club at a dinner of all the top D.C. correspondents, and he was sitting at the CNN table. So it's very close to the CNN narrative of Russiagate. And sitting and hearing Amy Jackson Berman in the courtroom yesterday, they want to revive this whole Russiagate thing. They're trying to say this leads into your next thing, which is talking about Steve Bannon and talking about Gates trying to say that there was some kind of cabal planning and sending Roger out as an envoy, which is completely untrue. And their direct congressional testimony countermands that, impeaches that, undermines that. So this was all stuff, again, this is very close to the Roger Stone defense team, the people who are doing the depositions, right? Who are saying, hey, why isn't this stuff being presented? This is exculpatory information.
Exactly. Yeah, you've got this drunken comedian who loves to brag about how he's connected to WikiLeaks. And if Roger Stone says anything about that, well, then, that's not true, what he's saying, what Randy Credico is saying. But, you know, Roger Stone is the one who actually knows Julian Assange. Even though we never had an interview with him. We're going to be right back with George Webb. Stay with us. We're going to talk about Steve Bannon, Rick Gates. What is up with that as they try to revive Russiagate? We'll be right back.
We know that the globalists are in trouble. Humanity's waking up to their tyranny, how they run their scams, their Ponzi schemes, how they're building a post-human world. But we know they're going to strike back. And the UN has said that they're going to absolutely implode third world countries and then use those giant populations as weaponized hordes to come in and overwhelm the West and collapse our social services in a giant Cloward and Piven program. The UN also has said they'll use mass plagues to make us capitulate to world government, inner coronavirus. This is a critical year, and it's a critical time to stay informed and to be spreading the word because people are waking up like never before. But this fight against tyranny is neck and neck, so spread the word about band.video and infowars.com/show. That is so important. You are at the center of the resistance. You are our only hope.
All right, folks, here's the bad news. We've already sold out of the 16-ounce immune gargle with the patented nanotech silver that's documented to knock out viruses and bacteria unlike anything else. But we do still have it in the 3-ounce and the 1-ounce for limited time. The good news is we have the Super Blue toothpaste and the Super Silver toothpaste, both that have the nano silver in them as well. The Super Blue has tea tree that's also antiviral and antibacterial and high quality iodine. And then of course the whitening has the nano silver, but on top of that it has the above sea coral calcium that remineralizes the teeth. And so it's just the best toothpaste you're going to find, period. It has the nano silver, and we still have supplies of it, though it'll sell out at current rates in about 2 weeks. But despite that, I'm keeping it at sale at 50% off so everybody can protect themselves with this high-quality product. If you've never used it before, get yours today. InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWarsStore.com.
Allergies, dander, asthma, germs, toxins. There are many reasons why we need to think about what is really in the air around us. We may not be able to stop breathing, but we can control what's in the air we breathe. The revolutionary Alexa Pure Breeze air filtration system is a powerful ally in the fight against the dangerous toxins and viruses in the air. Powerful, quiet, and effective, the Breeze uses a 4-step purification process to help you breathe easier and cleaner. Similar systems could cost hundreds to even thousands of dollars, but the Alexa Pure Breeze air purification is the best and most affordable, bar none. The Breeze and the Ion Cluster patented technology used in the system eliminate up to 99.97% of airborne contaminants. Get the Alexa Pure Breeze today and save big on a world-class air filtration system for your home. Don't keep breathing toxic or dangerous air. Get this special today at InfoWarsStore.com.
Before I started working at InfoWars, I was not only a fan of Alex Jones and InfoWars.com, but also the products at InfoWarsStore.com. And there's one product that's offered at InfoWarsStore.com that is the elite of the supplements, and that's DNA Force Plus. Now, I remember when Alex first started talking about this with some of his special guests, telomeres and telomere support with your DNA. And so I started to look into the science and what telomeres were and how it can improve your health and longevity when you protect your telomeres. So I started looking into DNA Force Plus, but it's expensive. Why? Because it is an elite supplement. And then I started seeing other competitors coming up with competitive supplements for telomere support, and they came and they went. But DNA Force Plus is still there. It is the elite supplement. I get excited when DNA Force Plus is on sale because I know it's expensive. So you should take advantage of 50% off DNA Force Plus at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Liberty, it's your move. This is The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're talking to George Webb, and again, you can find him on Twitter, you can find him on YouTube, you can find him on Patreon. His Twitter account is George without the E at the end of George, George Webb, W-E-B-B. You can also find him on Patreon as George Webb, spelled out completely, as you'd expect. And George was there every day of the Roger Stone trial. And again, he was there yesterday during the sentencing, and so I really wanted to get his unique perspective, having seen this thing from beginning to end as an investigative journalist. And we were just showed you the clip of Randy Critico bragging about the fact that he was the guy between Roger Stone and Julian Assange on the Jimmy Dore show. But you also pointed out, George, that he was at the National Press Club making those types of statements as well. When did that happen at the National Press Club? Was that before or after the trial began?
Well, this is in the time period leading up to the election. So I don't think the National Press Club White House Correspondents' Dinner was in April, end of April. Remember Amy Dacey and all the DNC people getting informed of the DNC leaks? So this was after that. This was in like this October, September timeframe, where they were really trying to build I believe in 2016, but I'm not sure. I just got the clip this morning from the folks.
Okay.
So we'll just have to run that down.
Yeah. Okay. Good. And the bottom line is that, again, this is central to the case here. The fact that Randy Credico is making these claims, well before, Roger Stone said, well, he told me that. And yet that's not allowed as evidence by Amy Berman. We saw after, she made the sentencing yesterday. And again, to do the sentencing while there's still a question as to the integrity of the trial that has to be determined, to do that prior to that, raises a lot of, eyebrows. And the fact that she said that Roger Stone was prosecuted, not prosecuted for standing up for the president, he was prosecuted for covering up for the president. I think that really shows her bias in this whole thing. As you point out, she's trying to revive this whole Russian conspiracy thing.
Yeah, and if you look at Bruce Rogo, who was the person who did the summation, he uses a phrase saying, so what, at the end. Like, if I had a conversation with Jerome Corsi, and Jerome Corsi wasn't the back channel to WikiLeaks, then so what? But she turned that around to say, so what about justice? And she called it the most pernicious thing that Roger Stone did wrong. Well, Roger Stone never said so what. It was Bruce Rogo in the summation that said so what.
Wow.
So it was, again, very twisting the facts, and it was to try to retell this Russian narrative.
Yeah, and of course, if you look at the comments of the foreman of the jury, a lawyer, a Democrat activist, and somebody who we see with her post-trial comments, after people recoiled at the draconian sentences that were being proposed, we can see that they didn't really need much pushing from Judge Jackson, because she had already made sure that the jury was kind of packed in that direction. But let's talk a little bit about the trial itself. Besides Randy Credico saying, well before all this stuff began, I am the back channel and so forth, you can imagine that Roger Stone might believe that and might talk to him about that if he's going around telling everybody that. But let's talk a little bit about Rick Gates. This is a guy who had been partnered with Manafort. The Mueller team used Gates to try to get to Manafort, because that's what they do. They go down to a lower level person. They try to turn them into an informant with trumping up charges against them. I guess we could say that's a pun intended or whatever. And then they would use that to get the next person up, and then try to turn Manafort to say, give us some dirt, we'll let you go as well. They were able to do that with Rick Gates. They got him for making false statements to the FBI, not registering properly his work for the Ukraine, which is, by the way, something that Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, did, and for money laundering. And then they gave him a plea bargain if he would work with them and tell what they wanted to, the narrative that they wanted. They gave him 45 days. And of course, Amy Berman Jackson was also a judge on his trial, issuing a lot of gag orders for him as well. But tell us how he played into the Roger Stone trial.
Well, so they want to build this narrative that we had a cabal. When Bannon joins the team and Gates is on the running the finance committee, and Manafort goes out because of the black ledger, and here comes in Manafort. He brings in Gates as the person managing the purse strings of the campaign. They want to say that there's this cabal, and we envoyed Roger over to London. I interviewed Roger personally going down the hallway during the trials. He said, I never went to London. Did you ever communicate with him? Julian Assange? I asked him. Never. I interviewed him personally with Lee Stranahan in January of last year, in 2019. Did you ever have any communication with Julian Assange? No. How often did you talk to Trump? His answer to me was about after every primary I won. And when he would win Michigan, he would call and ask about Ohio. When he would win, and it was late night calls, Saturday night, unexpected. It wasn't planned out. There was no cabal. That's the direct testimony that Roger told me to my face in front of the New York Times, Peter Duke, a social advocate from California, and Lee Stranahan from Sputnik. So, and the New York Times is standing over our shoulder, said it directly to our face. So I believe Roger. I don't think there was any kind of cabal, and no one was dispatching him. And Trump yesterday handled that very well and spoke directly to that and said he wasn't a part of the campaign. This idea that somehow he's covering up is ridiculous.
And of course, evidence that he was used from his testimony was he claimed that he was there with President Trump when he got a phone call from Roger Stone. And he said, I couldn't hear the conversation. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound like we just heard from this whole thing with the whistleblower and so forth, the impeachment? I wasn't in on the phone conversation, but I was in the room when this was being talked about. And based on what President Trump said, I thought he was talking to Roger Stone, and he said there was going to be more information coming. It's like,
I drilled down on that.
Roger Stone could figure that out, or President Trump could figure that out. Go ahead.
Well, David, you're so spot on. I drilled down on that, and it was actually in the back of one of these SUVs with the blue and red lights you see that are all armored up that make a huge amount of noise because they need a huge engine to move all that armor. And he was in the back seat behind two Secret Service agents, and Trump was, there was a distance of two Secret Service agents in between him and Trump driving the beast, which is loud. And they were going to the airport. I don't know if they were going to Andrews right over here or not, but just this whole idea that that's somehow admissible.
Yeah.
And to put a guy in jail is just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we've seen, that whistleblower complaint that was all based on hearsay evidence of people who weren't in the room, and they impeached President Trump over that. I mean, it doesn't need to be reasonable anymore with these people, but that's what we're talking about here. A good example of this, you know, the key testimony. We've got Rick Gates, who is sitting in the back of a giant limousine. We just saw this thing going around the track at Daytona Beach. Talked about how big this is and how noisy it is. And he's not on the phone conversation, but he thinks he knows everything that's there. I mean, this is just, conjecture by a witness, and it's, he didn't actually witness anything, but we just saw an entire impeachment process about people who didn't witness anything. And now we see, Roger Stone, perhaps going to go to jail on the testimony of people who didn't witness anything. And yet when you've got Randy Credico bragging over and over again before this all begins that, hey, yeah, I'm the go-between to Julian Assange. Well, can you get me in touch with them? Because Roger Stone is working with InfoWars, and he's trying to do interviews with Roger Stone. So why wouldn't he say, can I get an interview with him? I mean, are they going to impeach, are they going to send Sean Hannity to jail? He actually got an interview with Julian Assange. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back with George Webb. And we're going to talk about Steve Bannon's role here and get a wrap-up on, George to summarize this for us, because he was there every day of the trial. And this is, to call it a trial, it is not a trial. It's a kangaroo court. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
At the end of World War II, Adolf Hitler had discredited the eugenics and world population control organizations. They openly had meetings, and led by Julian Huxley, Aldous Huxley's brother, decided to repackage themselves as transhumanist. Now in the year 2020, to set the precedent that people can be turned into cyborgs, that robots can be given rights, you name it, they are intimidating and arresting people all over the world who simply misgender someone. So the ultimate crime will be even asking what someone is if you can't even tell what they are. This is the ultimate Kafkaesque mind control. And there's several big articles up on InfoWars.com that break this down. UK teen fined under house arrest for asking trans police officers gender. UK mother spared jail for misgendering trans woman, ordered to pay £1,000 fine. There can no longer be any doubt. This coronavirus is serious on multiple levels. It's very communicable. It spreads very, very fast. It is killing a lot of people. And the Chinese Communist government has covered up just how bad it is. And the White House is now openly challenging them. So are Trump's top scientists, and so is Senator Cotton. My friends, now is the time to get prepared. 2020 is not a year to play games with. The globalists are trying to create economic collapse, race riots. We don't know how bad this virus is going to get here. That's why listeners to InfoWars need to be prepared. And InfoWarsStore.com has the products that make your life better and make you healthier. We have the last.
last of the immune gargle selling out as we speak. We have high-quality storable foods ready to ship, and Vitamin Mineral Fusion is back in stock along with Ultra 12 at InfoWarsStore.com.
I love watching David Knight in the morning. I love tuning in to Owen Schroyer. I love all the other shows we do here. But I'll be honest with you. We run during the breaks a lot of news reports because I'm sick of hearing the ads. So you think you don't want to hear an ad? I don't want to hear an ad. But here's the bottom line. We're barely paying the bills here. And I want to expand the face of the globalists, not contract. I don't want them to win. So listen, you got this guarantee from me. We sell enough product, we'll have less ads and less plugs. And we'll expand and really give the globalists a run for their money. But we've got products you already really need, like DNA Force Plus, X2. These will change your life. Go check out the turmeric products. Check out the water filtration, air filtration. Check it all out. Whatever you do, take action and know. Be part of the second American Revolution. Be part of crushing the globalists. And get great products at the same time. InfoWarsStore.com is the umbrella site. InfoWarsLife.com is the supplements. Take action now and fund the InfoWar for your own future.
Three weeks ago, we told you that the Pentagon had set up secret quarantine centers for the coronavirus and that they believed it was much more serious than we were being told. Now we know that that is the case. And we know the federal government and major corporations have been buying up all the major storable food supplies around the country. Almost everyone else is sold out. But our supplier, My Patriot, at InfoWarsStore.com, still has their entire line of high-quality, fresh food. And it's fresh. That's why you have to wait 10 to 14 days for it to get delivered. Not because they don't have the food, but because they've got to package it and their factories are going 24 hours a day. High quality, fresh food, the best package systems, tastes great, protects you and your family, and funds the InfoWar. You just got to get the orders in until they extend it out even more, which could happen. Lock in your orders now, ensure you get it at InfoWarsStore.com today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Can't relax, I'm uptight. I'm taking pain relievers every night. So tense, I can't cope. And I'll be hanging if I have some room. Flipping and tripping like an old hippie. The lab is killing me.
Welcome back. Yeah, some people are being killed for their love of Trump, refusing to turn on him, refusing to lie for the people who want to run a coup, and they are being lined up and executed themselves, essentially what we're seeing happening with General Flynn and with Roger Stone. It's a shame that President Trump has let this go on as long as it has, in my opinion, but he needs to step up to the plate and needs to pardon Roger Stone, because when you look at what we just played earlier for you, you got Randy Credico, multiple occasions, some of them videotaped, others, a lot of eyewitness reports, but not allowed to hear him say that he is the go-between Julian Assange. And yet you've got Steve Bannon can come on and say, Roger led me to believe that he had a relationship with Assange and WikiLeaks, but we're not allowed to say Randy Credico led me to believe that he had a relationship with Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. I mean, that's the bottom line. They let one testimony out, they hide the other testimony. And so we're talking to George Webb, who was there every day of the trial and there yesterday at the sentencing. And George, I just want to give you, I don't want to get in the way, I want to just give you the floor here to tell us your impression since you were there from day one. Tell us what you think is important to know about this so-called trial. Oh, we lost George. Okay, I really wanted to hear what George had to say. We're going to, guys, reestablish contact with George, and we're going to get into that. But, of course, some of the other stuff that Steve Bannon said, Roger is an expert in the tougher side of politics. He has to get behind him in order to stick the knife in his back. When you're this far behind, you're going to have to use every tool in the toolbox. Opposition research, dirty tricks. The kinds of things campaigns use when you need to make up some ground. And so he really, in a very, very gentle, nice way, really smeared Roger Stone. He's a very clever guy. And as he went on, with, and talked to the guy that did Politically Correct. What's his name? As he went on with him, he said, Bill Maher, thank you, guys. Bill Maher said, gee, I wish we had somebody as evil as you on our side. Well, he is evil, but he's not necessarily on our side. Because when you look at what they're doing to Roger Stone, because he would not make up lies to take down President Trump, they've decided that they're going to send him to prison again. 3.5 years. And I think if they would have come out with 3.5 years, everybody's jaws would have just dropped. Even assuming that what he had been convicted of was actually legitimate. But instead, they boosted up with allegations that they're going to go 7 years, 9 years, or longer. And then, oh, I'll only go half of the minimum that we talked about before. See how reasonable I am and how unreasonable it would be for President Trump to pardon him. As many people have said, is it easier or harder to pardon somebody who is a close friend? I think we've now got him back on the line. George, are you with us now?
Yeah, I am.
Okay,
sorry,
good.
I moved in.
All right. That's okay. That's all right. That happens with live interviews. Just go ahead. I'm going to give you the floor. Tell us what you think are the most important things to that you learned out of this trial, watching it every day.
Well, again, I form my opinions from talking to people very close to the defense team. I talked to Tyler Nixon on the defense team a lot, suggesting that you need to establish what really happened, the truth defense. The truth is that Margaret Ratner did go see Julian Assange, and Randy Credico was in communication with Margaret Ratner. That's where Randy Credico was getting the breadcrumbs that he was throwing to Roger Stone. So in not calling Margaret Ratner was a big mistake. That's a black box. The American public doesn't know what happened. The real story about how the emails actually got to Julian Assange is still unknown. Remember,
well, let me ask you, why did the defense team not call her?
I've asked that question many times. Somebody made that decision. I don't know if it was Brad. I believe his name is Grant or Bruce Rogo, who is internationally known for a First Amendment lawyer who did all the summations and jury work. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. I'm not, so they weren't blocked. Person. It was just perhaps something that they should have done on the defense team. But go ahead. Yeah. So we have.
They called no witnesses, which is unusual. If your client is innocent,
yeah.
If your client is guilty, you normally don't have them testify because you don't want to add to the incrimination. But if your client is innocent, they can say, hey, what was your state of mind when you called Randy Credico? Did you think he was the back channel or didn't you?
Yeah.
You have to have mens rea, which is you have the thought of committing a crime in your mind in addition to actually committing the crime. You can accidentally hit somebody with your car that you didn't see. You're not guilty of murder unless you were trying to hit them.
When I had Norm Pattis here, he was also saying, what's wrong with his lawyers? He had a lot of questions about what his lawyers had not done, including not saying anything about the fact that Roger Stone had a gag order put on him after the verdict came out. I mean, that was bizarre as well. But go ahead. Tell us more about the trial and things that stuck out to you.
Well, that was the first thing I suggested to Tyler. And the second thing was call Jerome. You know Jerome. I know Jerome.
Yeah.
And Jerome was the person, Jerome Corsi was the person who they were saying was the back channel. Again, they had some communications that I saw, a lot of text messages back and forth when he was traveling in Europe, but there was no, and he was trying to get a hold of Ted Malik. I know you know Ted in London, but Ted wasn't able to get through, I don't believe, into the embassy. Randy got to the door of the embassy and so did Ted, but I don't believe either had a meeting. Now, I later interviewed Cassandra Fairbanks, who you also know, also an InfoWars person who did get in and meet Julian Assange many times. So those two things were not the back channel. So the only thing that could have happened in Roger's mind about a back channel were things that people represented to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you actually call Margaret Ratner to the stand. You call her, you can open the black box and see you did meet with Julian Assange. You were acting as a lawyer filling in for your dead husband. Remember the Bruce Ratner, the civil rights lawyer, dies earlier that year March time frame. And then the other WikiLeaks lawyer, Jim Jones, gets pushed in front of a train or something happens to him. He dies. And then Julian Assange's mentor, Gavin McFadden, dies. So if you're Julian Assange, your state of mind is, I have to tell this. This is my one thread. This person, Margaret Ratner, is my one thread of communication to the outside world. So you're going to tell her everything. Now, we know the people who are involved in the setup of this, who put her in there, were probably Strzok, McCabe, Pienka, et cetera, that cabal. And did they wire her for sound so they could be setting up Julian Assange also with whoever the RNC was going to put forward as a candidate? I don't know. But I think the public has a right to know. And that's what I think they wanted to protect here, how they were using Julian Assange as bait, as a lure for whoever the RNC candidate was going to be.
Yeah. Try to set them up. And of course, we see that they are now, slowly killing, Julian Assange. He's got an extradition trial that is approaching. Can you stay one more segment since we lost contact with you? I'd like to give you a little bit more time, to finish this up. This is a very, very important information, and you were there every day of this trial. And, you know, when you've got Julian Assange, and as you pointed out, all these people around him are having accidents, you know, as if they were enemies of Hillary Clinton or something. And then they he's very anxious to get that story out. Folks, we're going to be right back with Randy Credico. Before we do, I just want to tell you about some of the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com, because that's what supports this program. You've been very good to support us with the purchase that you make there. And of course, we've got a lot of products that are really going to help you with your health. We're going to be talking about new changes that are coming down the pike. You know, the thing that concerns me is not just the coronavirus that is out there, but of course, the legislation that is running through various state legislatures in Connecticut and Virginia and other places that would mandate vaccines. We're going to be talking about that coming up. I'm very concerned about mandated vaccines. I'm very concerned about narratives being created that are going to force untested vaccines on us. And I'm also very concerned about what happened with quarantines when you look at that cruise ship. I mean, that was, as that doctor who specializes in infectious diseases pointed out, he said, I've been at the Ebola outbreak in Africa, but I've never been more afraid than when I was on that cruise ship off the coast of Japan. And it was not quarantine. It was an incubator. And I don't want to be dragged into something like that. I don't want to have a forced vaccination system, and I don't want to be exposed to something that is potentially a very dangerous pathogen, maybe even weaponized. You want to make sure that your health is in top optimal shape. You want to make sure that you have prepped, and we've got a lot of products for that. We have storable food. You can store that for 25 years. Make sure you are covered on that. Make sure you've got good gravity feed water filters, and make sure that you have nano silver. We have all of that, and we also have DNA Force now back in stock, 40% off.
The evidence is overwhelming. Coronavirus is a man-made bioweapon designed to destroy nation states, economies, and free peoples, and usher in a planetary government. This is how the globalists are striking back. Here's a Fortune headline today. Fears of global coronavirus contagion rage as 3,000 cruise ship passengers return home. And that's just in one nation. Coronavirus deals major blow to German car factories in China. They're reporting it could cut their sales in half this year. That's how major this is. Everyone needs to be prepared. 2020 is not a year to play games. InfoWars will continue to report the latest information as it comes out, regardless of the fact that the establishment will try to punish us for telling the truth. We need you to step to the plate and help spread the word about Band.Video and InfoWars.com today. Alex Jones here with two big announcements. Ultra 12 and Vitamineral Fusion are both back in stock after being sold out for months. Vitamineral Fusion is high quality vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and other key cofactors that are so good for you and your family, especially your children's bodies and your immune systems. Ultra 12 is the highest quality vitamin B12 taken sublingually under the tongue. It is back in stock. You can get them both individually for 40% off right now, and get them together as a combo for 50% off. This makes your life so much better when you have a good multivitamin mineral that you actually absorb and as a tasty fruit punch. And of course,
Vitamin B12 is the bedrock foundation of energy, stamina, libido, just everything. And they're both back in stock, 40% off individually or 50% off when you get them together at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're talking to George Webb. Again, you can find him on Patreon, patreon.com/George Webb. That's Webb with two B's, and his name is spelled out completely there. On Twitter, I guess he had to shorten it up for Twitter. It's George without an E at the end, George Webb. G-E-O-R-G-W-E-B-B. And we're talking about the Roger Stone trial. He was there every day of the trial. He was there yesterday. And George, as you were just saying, it was strange that the defense did not call Margaret Ratner, Kuntzler, to the stand. She was referenced in the indictment. You had a lot of people saying, yeah, she's got, you know, she might be the link, and yet they didn't call her. What other things stuck out in your mind?
Well, I think, I wish Jerome would have testified, to be honest, because he could say, hey, I was in Italy. I was vacationing with my wife. We were taking a 25th honeymoon, and he said, go get those emails because you're in Europe. Roger told Jerome, go get those emails, but I wasn't successful. I called Ted or whatever the story was. I don't know what the story is. Mm-hmm. But, and I know.
I mean, why is that a crime? You know, when I'm a reporter, and I try to get information, or get an interview, I mean, why is that a crime? I just don't even understand the
Well, the Supreme Court ruled in the case of the Pentagon Papers that a journalist has a right to publish, stuff that's exactly. already been leaked. So, Ellsberg had already leaked the information. A journalist can then, as long as you don't enter in a conspiracy, to say, yeah. here, go in. And certainly this was already out. He was getting word from Randy Cretico, Roger was, state of mind, that, hey, these are already out. We just need to go get them.
And they're using that type of thing, not only against Roger Stone, but they're using it against Julian Assange, tried to use it against Glenn Greenwald. Oh, look, you talked to people and you said, hey, I'd like to have any information. Well, you were part of a conspiracy to obtain that information type of thing, right? I mean, that's very important.
Yeah, it's a very important distinction. If you and I agree, hey, we're going to go into Amy Berman Jackson's files this afternoon, that's conspiracy. But if the files, the top secret files are already out and we're just going to publicize them, that's protected by the First Amendment by the Supreme Court. That's the Pentagon Papers case.
Yes. Yes, exactly. All right. So what else? We've got 2 minutes left. Tell us about the trial that you were there every day. What else stuck out in your mind that you would like
well,
the audience to know?
Again, from the defense team, there was a real question about the credibility of Bannon and a question about the credibility of Rick Gates. If you remember, Rick Gates was, and I went to every day of that trial, the Manafort trial. He was a big star of the Manafort trial, and he was lying all over the place. He was flying to London to his condo, and he was buying girls all these gifts, and he had a place in New York, and he was lavishly funding their compromise operations with all the money from the Trump campaign, the Trump transition, and also the Trump inauguration fund. So this is a guy who has a very checkered history, and what I was told by insiders was that he lied clearly in his deposition to Congress, or put it this way, the attorney pantomimed what he would say. Which one of these versions of the truth, Rick, is true? Which one? Right? Mm-hmm. That's the standard cross-examination technique. Which one of these? What's the truth today? you want to tell the jury? Which version do you want to tell the jury? And you impeach them just by asking the question. And so that one. And then Bannon, again, left a very misleading situation. Well, Roger was our go-to guy for WikiLeaks. Well, you could have an office person watch the WikiLeaks wire every day and bring over and pass out what the published WikiLeaks were. There's no crime there. Mm-hmm. So Roger, but the way Bannon was, the testimony was very quick and through a keyhole and was made to sound like this was an engineered, like there was a department of dirty tricks.
That's
and
right.
Roger was the key guy. And that was not the case. He was not there in the campaign.
No, absolutely not. And of course, Roger, like you and I, watches this stuff all the time, and you can kind of pretty much take an educated guess. Thank you so much, George Webb. Again, you can find him patreon.com/George Webb. Thank you, George. It's absolutely amazing what you saw there.
Across the Western world, from high school to college sports to even the Olympics, men, biological men, are winning almost all of the sporting events. This is men invading women's spaces and bullying them and taking their rights away, all in the name of liberalism and openness. And then every day, I have stacks of news articles, just like today. UK teen fined under house arrest for asking trans police officers gender, and it hurt their feelings. UK mother spared jail for misgendering trans woman, ordered to pay £1,000 fine because it could have caused anxiety in the new royalty. That's the thought police. If a leftist has their feelings hurt for any reason, you get fined and you go to jail. This is tyranny. These people are bullies, and it's sick, and it's evil, and it's part of a scientific anti-human takeover. Resist it. Speak out against it.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You just heard George Webb. You got a taste of what he saw there being at the Roger Stone trial on a daily basis. And it is absolutely amazing to me how corrupt our Department of Justice has become. And I've seen this in trial after trial after trial. If the bureaucracy wants to get you for whatever reason, and the reason that they're coming after Roger Stone is because they want to get to President Trump. They're flipping people just like they flipped Gates to get Manafort. And then they hoped to flip Roger Stone, get him to tell some lies, because he didn't tell lies. They accused him of committing perjury. Because he didn't tell the lie that they wanted him to tell about President Trump, so they could come after President Trump. And as I said, I've seen this so many times. I mentioned it yesterday when I was talking about the Stone trial. What happened to Ross Ulbricht? Just amazing what happened to him. And of course, he was a young guy convicted of running Silk Road. And he is going to be serving 3 consecutive life sentences for running a website. I've talked to his mother multiple times. And why 3 life sentences for running a website that was selling things that government doesn't want sold, right? Drugs or whatever, okay, guns. He was administering that website is what the conviction is saying. But they got to 3 life sentences because they had a lie that was told. And again, it's not clear when you look at this actually who was running it because you have convictions of FBI agents who embezzled nearly $1 million out of that website because they were given the keys to it. Now, if they had the keys where they could embezzle money like that, do you think they could have done anything on that website? And of course, the fact that they had crooked FBI agents who could actually run the website, that was hidden from the jury, just like they hid stuff from the Stone jury. Then you had the allegations that Ross Ulbricht had tried to contract murder for hire through Silk Road, and that was trumpeted long and loud through the mainstream media. And yet, he was never even charged with that. The jurisdiction where they alleged that without an indictment, he was not convicted of that. He was not even indicted or tried for that. And yet, the allegations that were put out there by a prosecutor in one jurisdiction, again, not proven, and again, they had FBI agents who were running that website. Those allegations are put out there, and the judge, even though he had not been convicted, even though he had not been indicted, the judge used those allegations to justify a sentencing of 3 consecutive life sentences. This is how they can use the system and how judges have arbitrary, unrestrained power to do whatever they wish. Just like they put a gag on Roger Stone for months after the trial was over. We have to end this judicial tyranny that comes through this notion that we've all bowed down to of judicial supremacy. This is a false god that we have surrendered everything in our society and our government to, this false god of judicial supremacy. And it is creating the worst kind of tyranny. It's going to be justifying the worst kind of tyranny we've ever seen. But nevertheless, like getting back to Ross Ulbricht's case, you know, she uses that, says, well, you know, it's alleged, even though not indicted, even though not proven, even though not found guilty, it's alleged that he contracted murder for hire. Nobody died. And so she uses that to give him three consecutive life sentences, meaning that he will never be able to get out of prison, this young man. And then as soon as that was passed, they said, well, never mind. We're not going to bother to indict him. No problem with that. They got what they wanted out of it. That's how crooked our justice system is. You look at what happened to the Bundys. They had multiple people who were railroaded by that crooked judge in Nevada, that federal judge, who was hiding exculpatory evidence left and right all over the place. And then eventually you had an honest person who worked for the Bureau of Land Management, that BLM, not Black Lives Matter, but I have to always clarify that when I say BLM. You had an honest agent who worked for the Bureau of Land Management talking about what actually went on there and how the BLM management and the FBI agents that were there were pushing a confrontation. And Dan Love and others that were there, even other BLM agents who had the same position as Dan Love. And it's amazing to look at that bureaucracy and see what kind of dictatorial powers they were given. But an agent who is in an adjacent jurisdiction came out and publicly said in the press, I can't believe what Love was doing there. I looked at this plan. I thought, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to create a massacre here? And nevertheless, this judge wouldn't allow any of that information to come out and convicted multiple people. And the first trial against the Bundy family was a hung jury. And so they're coming after it again. And then finally, this BLM agent comes out. The information was released mainly through Matt Shea, the Washington State representative who got that publicized. And because of that, that crooked judge had to declare mistrial. Say, well, you know, that shows that the Bundys didn't do what we claimed that they did. And then eventually did a mistrial with prejudice, saying that it was not eligible for a retrial. But our crooked Department of Justice is still demanding that there be another trial under some basis. Why, I don't know. But they want to come after the Bundys again. And as far as I know, they've not released any of the people who were previously wrongfully convicted based on what we learned from BLM. They did, however, come after Matt Shea. The international press came after him for that. This is how dangerously corrupt our government is here. It's absolutely amazing. And we better wake up to this is not just a story about Roger Stone. And to see Attorney General Barr, bow up to President Trump and say, you know, don't tweet this stuff. Don't tell me how to do my job. Well, somebody better tell you how to do your job because you're not doing your job. You've got a corrupt Department of Justice out there that hasn't been fixed. And it continues to go. Let's play video clip number 4 because this is Tucker Carlson talking about how President Trump could pardon Roger Stone. I'd like to see Roger Stone pardoned, but folks, that's the first thing that needs to happen. But we got to clean up this corruption in Washington. That's what really needs to ultimately happen. It's going to keep happening. And there's a lot of people that have been railroaded by this corrupt federal government and these corrupt authoritarian judges, and nothing's being done about that. Let's play video clip number 4.
Roger Stone is scheduled to be sentenced tomorrow in federal court. He faces, as you know, 9 years in prison, effectively the rest of his life, for lying to Congress during the course of the Mueller investigation. Like the Russia collusion fantasy itself, Stone's prosecution was wholly political. It was a shocking insult to the American tradition of equal justice. Obama appointed Judge Amy Berman Jackson, an open Democratic partisan, allowed a former congressional candidate, a Democrat, with a history of attacking Stone to run the jury in the case. Then Judge Jackson stripped Stone of his First Amendment rights. She threatened to send him to jail if he tried to defend himself in public. That's why Roger Stone isn't on this show tonight. He'd go to prison for it. The whole thing is enough to shake your faith in our justice system, unfortunately. President Trump could end this travesty in an instant with a pardon, and there are indications tonight that he will do that. In the last 24 hours, he's done the same for former police commissioner Bernie Kerik and for financier Michael Milken. Democrats will become unhinged if Trump pardons Roger Stone, but they're unhinged anyway. What has happened to Roger Stone should never happen to anyone in this country, of any political party, to Democrats as well, ever. It's completely immoral. It's wrong. Fixing it is the right thing to do. And in the end, that is the only thing that matters.
That's right. And that was tweeted out by President Trump. That's why that's so important, because it appears that he agrees with that. And, you know, quite frankly, what we see, the mentality of the left, is like the mentality of those who ran the French Revolution. They don't care what means they use as long as they get the people they want. And eventually, I'll remind you, the leader of that French Revolution went to the guillotine himself. That's what the Democrats fail to understand. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Real stuff, man. We're talking about the real deal here. And I love Trump all day long, but man, I tell you, he sits here and lets these big tech people keep running roughshod over him. Everybody, I've got a problem. And we'll just take the Trump rallies over. That said, about 2 months ago, I came up with a plan that I haven't launched yet. We have a warehouse full of hundreds of thousands of stickers, 20 different stickers. Impeach the Democrats, save the Second Amendment, defend the First Amendment, Infowars.com. And it looks like duct tape, but it's just a regular sticker. You put it over your mouth, you go to a Trump rally, and you instantly take over without even disrupting things. People say, why are you doing this? What's happening? Well, you go, well, we're being censored, and, you know, Trump won't do anything about it. And Dr. Pachinik, let me just ask you what you think, because I've not launched this yet.
It's brilliant. You've taken the very element that they try to repress you with, that silence, and made it into a weapon. You have the loudest sound of all, silence. And you know what's most disturbing to people? Silence.
It's no secret that our daily lives are becoming more stressful. No matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, we're all feeling the strain from rising pressure. That's why we worked hard to create a new formula to support your fight against stress in your hectic day. Chill Force is our solution for a true, healthy, relaxation support formula. As the long-awaited sister formula to Brain Force Plus, this formula includes powerful ingredients and time-tested practices to help fight your stress levels. It's time to take a breather. Get Chill Force today at InfoWarsStore.com.
Since the beginning, Secret 12 has been one of our most popular formulas. Now we're bringing you an all-new version of your favorite formula to help you reach your energy peak. Ultra 12 from InfoWars Life takes advantage of the most effective and expensive form of B12 available, methylcobalamin, to provide you with twice the B12. Ultra 12 can help make DNA, support the body's energy production, and help produce healthy blood cells while assisting proper nervous system function. Help support your energy levels and take advantage of the superior form of B12 today with Ultra 12.
We know that the globalists are in trouble. Humanity's waking up to their tyranny, how they run their scams, their Ponzi schemes, how they're building a post-human world. But we know they're going to strike back. And the UN has said that they're going to absolutely implode third world countries and then use those giant populations as weaponized hordes to come in and overwhelm the West and collapse our social services in a giant Cloward and Piven program. The UN also has said they'll use mass plagues to make us capitulate to world government, inner coronavirus. This is a critical year, and it's a critical time to stay informed and to be spreading the word, because people are waking up like never before. But this fight against tyranny is neck and neck, so spread the word about band.video and Infowars.com/show. That is so important. You are at the center of the resistance. You are our only hope.
Cobra Commander here, reminding you to not own firearms, to not take supplements, to not get sunshine, and to not love Jesus. And of course, do not get storable foods or any other types of colloidal or nano silver at InfoWarsStore.com. Do not do it. Trust CNN. Trust MSNBC. Drink fluoridated water just like the loving kiss of a king cobra pumping deadly, loving, helpful nutrients into your body. Hug the cobra. Love the cobra. Kiss the cobra. But never, never go to InfoWars.com or InfoWarsStore.com. Do not order those products! Silence Jones now!
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Do you think that we should be concerned about an out-of-control government, about the loss of due process? Yeah, it's much bigger than Roger Stone. We need to make sure that they can't get away with it with Roger Stone, that they can't get away with it with the president, for example. I mean, you know, what we saw with President Trump, this so-called impeachment process should concern everyone. It ought to really concern the Democrats. Because they're creating tools that are going to be used against them in the future as well. They're foolish enough not to understand that. Said many times that the government, as they jettison due process for their own purposes, their short-sighted purposes, they don't realize that they're putting a noose around their own neck. When we look at what's going on in this country, here's another example of this, not as well known as Roger's case. Michigan, a Michigan college student, posts a picture of his new rifle and ends up charged with a felony for making terroristic threats. This is in Michigan. College student's name is Lucas Gerhard, 20-year-old law enforcement student. Yeah, a law enforcement. His dad is a retired Marine colonel. This guy's going to be a law enforcement student at Lake Superior State University in Michigan, a school that has about 2,000 students. That is until August 19th. 2019, reports the Daily Sheeple, someone outside his friend's list took a screenshot of a Snapchat post of his new rifle, told authorities that she felt threatened. Her subjective emotions landed him in jail. He was arrested on a felony charge of making a terroristic threat. What was it? Oh, having a picture that he put on Snapchat that somebody who is not even one of his friends saw. So, she felt threatened, and that made him guilty of, or charged, rather, with making terroristic threats. See, this is the insanity of all this hate crime legislation. The idea that even though it is subjective, and especially because it's subjective, it's unlimited in its scope. It can be used as a weapon against anybody and anything, right? Right now, it's only being used by the left. You know, you talk about you're a Christian, and so you believe in marriage. Well, we're not going to have that because the Supreme Court's got a different definition of marriage. And that makes you, even before the Supreme Court had that different definition of marriage, that makes you hateful and a hate crime. And you were, you know, we had all these different Christian organizations labeled as such by the Southern Poverty Law Center. You even had a guy go in and try to shoot up the Family Research Council because of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Who was? One of the people hired by the FBI to sniff out all those haters out there. The same thing is now going on rampant on social media, as you may have noticed, of course. But anyway, what happens is because of the subjective nature of hate speech, of hate crimes and so forth, it's now become a witch hunt. Anybody that they hate, they can accuse of a hate crime, and they can use it as a political weapon. And they can do the same kind of stuff to you that they did to Roger Stone. August 22nd, 2019, two student resident assistants, two RAs, saw his Snapchat. One of them took a screenshot, and the two went to the safety officer, the campus cops. Soon, police descended on his dorm room, and they searched both the room and his car with his permission, and he cooperated with the police. His father as I pointed out, retired Marine colonel, drove 5 hours to reach his son when he heard about the room being searched. At first, he didn't think it was going to be anything to worry about. He said, surely people are rational. Not today. Not today, he thought. When he arrived, he and his son had the run of the campus, and they strolled around, going anywhere that they wanted. School apparently didn't think that there was a threat going on because they didn't notify any students. They didn't say lockdown. They didn't say shelter in place. None of that. They specifically stated, our students were never in danger. Staff, faculty, no one was in danger. But when one of the students was asked by local media about what happened, they said they hadn't heard anything about it. So if he was a terroristic threat, then why was nothing said until after the incident? While this is playing out in real time, said his father, the school wasn't seeing this as a general public safety concern. It was only afterwards that they decided that they were going to pursue this along with the prosecutor. Why? Well, here's the backstory on this. Lucas, whose dad is a retired Marine colonel, Lucas, who was a law enforcement student, was also a conservative. And he had had some political debates with some of these people. But there were no threats over that. There were differences of opinion. The person who filed this charge against him was evidently obnoxious enough that he blocked her. So she became increasingly antagonistic, right? And got her revenge through the legal system. Lucas was ultimately denied bond. He spent 83 days in the Chippewa County Jail with four others charged with the same code. And 12 others who were career criminals. He was finally released on $200,000 bond and tethered, essentially under house arrest, until the middle of November that year. Bond provisions also stipulated that he have no contact with the internet, including smartphones. He couldn't leave the home unless he was going to a doctor's appointment or legal appointment. All weapons and ammunition, including his father, the retired Marine colonel, they came after his ceremonial sword. And they removed that from the home as well. Do you think that they're only coming after President Trump and Roger Stone? This is systemic. Take a look at Sandy Hook, for example. What's going on with Remington, the gunmaker? Even though we have a Second Amendment, even though we have a First Amendment, even though they added to both of those with a law in 2005, the Federal Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, saying that because the Democrats had already said, we're going to shut down all the gun manufacturers. And this is why Sandy Hook is so key. They are able to get away with anything, because the people in Connecticut, remember, you had the Connecticut State Police come out and say, anybody says anything about that, we're going to unlock you or come after you. And so they're coming after Remington. Even though they're shielded by the Second Amendment, by the First Amendment, by the specific law saying you can't come after somebody for selling a product legally. If somebody misuses their product, just like, you know, you can't come after if Ford sells a van or a pickup truck and you've got somebody uses it to run people over, you can't sue Ford. And that's what they're saying about these guns. But the Connecticut Supreme Court said, I think we've got an area here where you can do this. We'll carve out a little spot here for the Sandy Hook people, because they're Sandy Hook people. They can do whatever they want without any restrictions whatsoever. The justices said, we've got a single limited theory for you to come after them. You can say that Remington breached the state unfair trade practices statute by marketing the AR-15 to civilians for criminal purposes. You think they really did that? if you're going to commit a crime, this is the baby you need to have right here. They said, yeah, by, you know, putting it out there as a military weapon, you know, they put forward the idea of glorifying the lone gunman. Well, you know, the military doesn't usually use lone gunmen. I mean, this is not a sniper rifle. That's the only time you got a lone gunman situation. If they were showing people in mass running with that thing, and then it would be true, but it's not true. We know exactly what's behind this. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Before I started working at InfoWars, I was not only a fan of Alex Jones and InfoWars.com, but also the products at InfoWarsStore.com. And there's one product that's offered at InfoWarsStore.com that is the elite of the supplements, and that's DNA Force Plus. Now, I remember when Alex first started talking about this with some of his special guests, telomeres and telomere support with your DNA. So I started to look into the science and what telomeres were and how it can improve your health and longevity when you protect your telomeres. So I started looking into DNA Force Plus, but it's expensive. Why? Because it is an elite supplement. And then I started seeing other competitors coming up with competitive supplements for telomere support, and they came and they went. But DNA Force Plus is still there. It is the elite supplement. I get excited when DNA Force Plus is on sale because I know it's expensive. So you should take advantage of 50% off DNA Force Plus at InfoWarsStore.com.
With the daily wear and tear of the environment on our skin, it's only natural that it starts to crack and take damage. Wind, heat, water, and age are telltale signs that it's time to start taking care of your skin. With the InfoWars Super Silver Cream, you can keep your skin feeling silky smooth and begin to heal the damages of the world around you. Created with ingredients like coconut oil, vitamin E, and the incredible Silver Sol formula, InfoWars Silver Cream works triple duty, supporting the beautifying and protecting of the skin in a fast, non-greasy formula. Small and easily stored, it can support dry and damaged skin to reduce fine lines and wrinkles, while smoothing and softening calluses. With none of the harmful ingredients found in other formulas, you can be sure this Silver Cream is hard at work, promoting the healing of your skin. Don't miss out on the new Silver Sol powered can't miss formula. Get the InfoWars Super Silver Cream today.
Across the Western world, from high school to college sports to even the Olympics, men, biological men, are winning almost all of the sporting events. This is men invading women's spaces and bullying them and taking their rights away, all in the name of liberalism and openness. And then every day, I have stacks of news articles, just like today. UK teen fined under house arrest for asking trans police officers gender, and it hurt their feelings. UK mother spared jail for misgendering trans woman ordered to pay £1,000 fine because it could have caused anxiety in the new royalty. That's the thought police. If a leftist has their feelings hurt for any reason, you get fined and you go to jail. This is tyranny. These people are bullies, and it's sick, and it's evil, and it's part of a scientific anti-human takeover. Resist it. Speak out against it.
Don't be a victim. If you're worried about the coronavirus, exercise, but not too hard, because that can lower your immune system. Drink extra purified clean water so that no toxins weigh you down, but you have plenty of hydration. Prayer and meditation has been proven to make you healthier. Get plenty of vitamin C. Get plenty of vitamin D3, which is fish oil. Take your colloidal silver, all of it. That's what allows you to be healthier and get plenty of sleep. We have sold out of the 16-ounce immune gargle that has the nano silver that's patented and documented and even admitted in documents we've shown to go after this whole corona SARS family of viruses. We're almost sold out of the 1-ounce spray bottles. That'll be sold out in a couple days, and we're in about a week and a half or so of the Super Silver 3-ounce bottles. Great to have, period. Really good for your gums. Really great for your teeth. We also have the Super Silver in our whitening toothpaste. Again, we're the only folks allowed to private label or make our own products with this top nanotech company based here in the U.S. that's in all these Homeland Security documents and everything, because we get the best stuff, and there's a lot of patriots. There's not just bad guys coming after us. There's the flip side of all the good guys and good gals, and it's very exciting.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Using free speech to free minds, this is The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We were just talking about the Sandy Hook case and what Remington is trying to do. This is reported by Reuters. What Remington, the context of this, and the reason this came back up again, is because Remington is, they're penetrating, they're penetrating the specific law that was passed in 2005, Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act. Because even though, like I said, you've got an automobile manufacturer and somebody uses their car to commit an act of terrorism, running people down. They're not going to come after Ford that sold them the car. But the Democrats signaled that they were going to do that with the firearms industry. So they specifically passed in Congress a federal law in 2005 to stop that, but the Connecticut Supreme Court doesn't care. So the rules don't apply in Connecticut if you're talking about the Sandy Hook case. And so Remington is saying, well, we need to be able to defend ourselves against this. You're saying that we ran advertising that, quote, magnified the lethality of the Sandy Hook massacre by inspiring Lanza or causing him to select a more efficiently deadly weapon for his attack. That's what the plaintiffs are saying. And that's what they have to prove. They have to prove that they don't have protection under this law because they advertised their dangerous gun. It's an assault weapon because it scares liberals. It's a scary rifle. And so if you advertise a scary rifle, that should be a criminal act, right? We're told that all the time. I mean, we just had a guy who's just been charged with a terrorist threat because they took he put up on Snapchat a picture of his rifle, his AR. And you had somebody who he had previously blocked continuing to troll him, sees that on there and files a police report. And so, yeah, these are scary rifles. That's why they are literally assault rifles, because they, you know, liberals think that they're scary and they think they're justified in calling you a terrorist, sending you to jail. And that's what they're trying to do now. What they did to that one college student, they're trying to do in the Sandy Hook case to an entire firearms manufacturer, Remington, trying to put them out of business. They're trying to put our right to protect ourselves out of business as well. So that was the original complaint from the lawyers for the Sandy Hook complainers. The amended complaint does not include specific allegations about Lanza, that he even saw Bushmaster advertisements. The complaint does not actually mention him at all, though a previous complaint asserted that he chose it because he was aware of its military and assaultive qualities. Its military and assaultive qualities. The new streamlined complaint instead focuses solely on Remington's allegedly militaristic marketing of the AR-15, which, according to the plaintiffs, glorified the idea of the lone gunman. How in the world? I mean, you're going to show the gun, and you're going to show one guy holding it. Oh, you're talking about a lone gunman here, right? In Tuesday's motion for access to Lanza's psychiatric and educational records, Remington argued that despite Lanza's conspicuous absence from the new complaint, the shooter and his mental health are at the heart of the case. Remington said that based on public reports, they believe that Lanza had a history of psychiatric problems, including a, quote, fascination with mass murder and suicidal ideation. His records are now confidential under state and federal laws, but Remington argued that they must be produced in the interest of justice and due process. They said the alleged causal link between Remington's advertisements and Lanza's crimes is key to the narrow claim that the Connecticut Supreme Court allowed them to proceed. Whether or not the allegedly wrongful marketing inspired and caused him to commit these crimes. So, the bottom line, folks, is that, first of all, you have to be allowed to defend yourself. You have to be allowed to call witnesses in your defense. You have to be allowed to show evidence that is in your defense. This is somebody that is no longer alive. Why would their records be sealed if they are at the center of this? But that's not the center of this trial. You have to understand what is at the center of this trial. And you have to understand the tactics that this politicized judicial system is using to come after anybody that they don't like for whatever reason. Making terroristic threats a felony charge against a guy because he posted a Snapchat picture of himself with a gun. He wasn't doing it in a threatening manner. As a matter of fact, the people who were threatening him were the ones who got these trumped up charges put against him. Take a look at what's going on at the airport. One of my first stories that I covered when I came here to InfoWars was a guy who got stranded in Hawaii. He was put on a no-fly list, and he was flying on U.S. military planes to go see his wife in Japan. And he got to Hawaii. They didn't have any problem with him flying to California. They didn't have any problem with him flying from California to Hawaii, but just, and he even got onto the plane there in Hawaii, but just as the plane was about to take off, federal agents came on board and drug him off. Said, you're on a no-fly list. Well, how do I get out of Hawaii being on a no-fly list? And more importantly, how did I get on a no-fly list? Well, we can't tell you. We can't tell you. It's secret. You don't have any rights. See, the reason we have the Bill of Rights is because this is nothing new. This is a standard tactic of tyrants. That's why we have the Bill of Rights. Because we had had star chambers and secretive policemen, secretive proceedings where you're not allowed to know what the charges are, who's bringing it against you, or how to defend yourself. That's why we have the protections, and the Bill of Rights are now being ignored all the time. And so it was a very long procedure. He, you know, we made it public. And eventually he was able to have it waived or whatever. He could, never could get an answer as to whether he was still on it or how he got on it or how to get off of it, right? This is the kind of Kafkaesque world that we now live in. Once you get rid of the Constitution, and folks, it's gone. Constitution doesn't apply. It's important that we understand the Constitution, and I talk about it all the time, so that you understand these people use the Constitution to appeal to their authority. And they have no authority. They have a lot of power, but they have no more authority than a communist dictator in China or the Soviet Union. No more authority than one of them. They do have a lot of power. And it comes out of the barrel of a gun. And they will do whatever they can get away with. And they can get away with a lot. So we see the government is saying that three men will have no recourse against FBI agents who used a no-fly list to punish them. Now, these guys know why they got put on the no-fly list. These guys are Muslims, and they were trying to use them as informants. And they said, well, you don't play ball with us. We're going to put you on the no-fly list. And you can't go back home and see your relatives or whatever. And so now they're suing for damages under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. They need to be talking about their due process, quite frankly. I mean, you know, typically, yeah, they were singled out because they're Muslims, you know, in the same way they singled out Randy Weaver because he was a conservative and he was going to some church that that they were trying to come after the people in that church. But that would be why they would identify you, and that would be why they would try to get you to become an informant and try to set up other people. But they need to attack this no-fly list thing. And remember, the no-fly list, as much as the liberals like that, they want to have a no-buy list that they can put you on without you knowing about it, that they can put you on without you being able to see why you were put on. Once you find out about it, you can't find out, well, why am I on here? What are the charges against me? Why am I a dangerous person? Why am I on this list? And you better understand where this is coming from with a no-fly list. We've got the TSA running roughshod over. Here's another case here where they just destroyed a custom-made instrument of a guy who was flying. They didn't understand what it was. They just destroyed it. Thought it might be a weapon, so they destroyed it. And now they're rolling out facial recognition at all the airports. You better understand what these self-driving cars are about. That's the way that they extend all of this into each and every car.
Almost all the other big storable food companies are sold out of food. But I know for a fact from sources they're telling people, oh, we've got it, get your order in, 2 weeks for delivery. We follow this pattern over and over again. I've been on radio for 25 years. I've had storable food for a long time. And I learned very quickly that a lot of these companies, they're fine during normal times. But during a crisis, they don't keep a bunch of food on hand because of inventory. They'll still take your orders. That's why about 11 years ago, I found My Patriot Supply, now the biggest, most trusted company out there. And I became a private labeler for them because they actually have it on hand. They actually give it delivered to you on time. They do what they're going to say they're going to do because they want you as a customer over and over again. And they're good people. Now, they were saying 7 to 10 days before shipping because they've got the food, but they got to package it, record level orders. Now it's 10 to 14 because it's only intensifying with the coronavirus. So get your orders in at InfoWarsStore.com. Get the best deals. Get it delivered first. They're in our system. It goes right to them. Then it funds the InfoWar as well. So get prepared. InfoWarsStore.com with storable foods.
I spend a lot of time reminding the InfoWars family of listeners and viewers that without you, we won't be on the air. And I spent a lot of time thanking you. But
I really think you should thank yourself for keeping us on the air and really changing the world for the better and raising the alarm as modern Paul Revere's. But something I should spend more time on is just reminding you that these products are really amazing. You've got that pledge from me, but you've seen the third-party test out there, the air filtration, the water filtration. The supplements are all the very best you're going to find out there. And you can't fund an operation anywhere else that's fighting the globalist this hard. So it's not a burden to support InfoWars. It really is something that is good for everybody, that stands for justice and freedom and makes your life and your family's life and your children's life so much better. So visit InfoWarsStore.com today. Real stuff, man. We're talking about the real deal here. And I love Trump all day long, but man, I tell you, he sits here and lets these big tech people keep running roughshod over him. Everybody, I mean, I've got a problem. And we'll just take the Trump rallies over. That said, about 2 months ago, I came up with a plan that I haven't launched yet. We have a warehouse full of hundreds of thousands of stickers, 20 different stickers. Impeach the Democrats, save the Second Amendment, defend the First Amendment, InfoWars.com. And it looks like duct tape, but it's just a regular sticker. You put it over your mouth, you go to a Trump rally, and you instantly take over without even disrupting things. People say, why are you doing this? What's happening? Well, you go, well, we're being censored, and, you know, Trump won't do anything about it. And Dr. Pachinik, let me just ask you what you think, because I've not launched this yet.
It's brilliant. You've taken the very element that they try to repress you with, that silence, and made it into a weapon. You have the loudest sound of all, silence. And you know what's most disturbing to people? Silence.
There can no longer be any doubt. This coronavirus is serious on multiple levels. It's very communicable. It spreads very, very fast. It is killing a lot of people. And the Chinese Communist government has covered up just how bad it is. And the White House is now openly challenging them. So are Trump's top scientist, and so is Senator Cotton. My friends, now is the time to get prepared. 2020 is not a year to play games with. The globalists are trying to create economic collapse, race riots. We don't know how bad this virus is going to get here. That's why listeners to InfoWars need to be prepared. And InfoWarsStore.com has the products that make your life better and make you healthier. We have the last of the immune gargle selling out as we speak. We have high-quality storable foods ready to ship. And Vitamin Mineral Fusion is back in stock along with Ultra 12 at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There was sand and hills.
You know, we're just talking about the no-fly list and how they use that. You can't tell if you're on a no-fly list, why you're on there, how do you get off, what's the charges again? No, can't tell you that. How is that allowed in America? To me, that is the antithesis of everything that America is about. And it is the total repudiation of most of the Bill of Rights. But now we have a situation where we had the Diamond Princess cruise ship that was off of Yokohama, Japan. And I talked about this yesterday, how a doctor who specializes in infectious diseases, and he's traveled to all these different places where they've had massive outbreaks. He was there for the SARS epidemic in Hong Kong, and he went to Africa when they had an Ebola epidemic. He said, I've never been frightened like I was on that cruise ship, because they didn't have a clearly designated green zone where everything is safe, or a red zone where you have contaminated people. They didn't really separate the people. It wasn't quarantine, really. It was just locking up the thousands of healthy people with a core of sick people, and you could see that disease was spreading like wildfire. It was an incubator. It wasn't a quarantine. And he said he was very concerned about that. Well, in response to what was going on there, you had the American government, and I agree with getting those Americans off of that ship. If you're not going to do quarantine correctly, and that's been my biggest concern about this all along, two things. the way the government does quarantine, and I've seen how FEMA operates in the past with natural disasters and how they exacerbate them. Any kind of outbreak is going to be exacerbated by our government's involvement. Make no mistake about that. And that's one of the things I've said from the very beginning about China. How are they exacerbating this with their action or their inaction, whatever they're doing? And so I'm concerned about what might be done by the mandated quarantines. Talked about how they have the military going around, you know, hitting people with temperature readers. And it's like, okay, you're a little bit high. We're going to stick them in the sick house. Let them get sick and die. Because they're not giving people medicine. I played for you that clip yesterday of the crying mother saying that's it. They, you know, they put people who are not sick in quarantine, but people who are sick, many of them, they're turning away. We can't get medicine. We can't buy medicine. Why can't they buy medicine? Why can't they buy healthcare? Because they have a single provider system. They have Medicare for all in China. And that's what this is going to look like here in America. Yeah, you're not going to be able to buy it, right? No. We don't have a market anymore. Just like they do in the UK. In other places, you can't go buy that. You've got to get it through the government. So the good news is that they got these people out. As I said yesterday, Japan was taking people off of this cruise ship and putting them on public transportation, flying them all over the place. And we kind of did that with the Americans. You had the CDC saying, wait a minute, you got to be careful about this. The State Department, Department of Health and Human Services green-lighted this over the objections of others. They said, well, we put them on a public flight with 300 other people. However, the individuals, this is what they said in their statement, the individuals were moved in the most expeditious and safe manner to a specialized containment area on the evacuation aircraft to isolate them in accordance with standard protocols. But they still put them on a public plane when they did. I don't understand why they didn't use a military transport where everybody could be wearing suits and they wouldn't have any kind of contact with the other passengers who are not sick. Why wouldn't you use a military plane? Because they flew them into the U.S. and put them into military bases to be quarantined. They had 14 infected evacuees were transported to Travis Air Force Base in California and Lackland Air Force Base in Texas. 13 of them were then transferred to the University of Nebraska Medical Center for treatment. Nebraska says those who have tested positive for the novel coronavirus are only showing mild symptoms of the disease. Well, that's good, but it is very troubling how they're doing this, especially when we look at the moves that are happening all across the country in Democrat-controlled states like California, like Connecticut, like Virginia now, to mandate vaccines, in many cases without exception. In Connecticut, they're now having, just like they did in New York, they're now having laws presented to remove any religious exemption for childhood vaccinations. They don't care what you think. They don't care what your objections to it. They don't want your informed consent when it comes to medical care. They're going to give you medicine regardless of whether you want it or not. And if you have a religious objection, as many Christians and Jews do, and that's really who they were aiming this for in New York, was Jewish schools. They had objections to the fact that a lot of these vaccines had been produced using abortion and other issues for their tests or for whatever they were doing. And said, well, we object to that. We don't want to have a part of that. But look, if I don't want, I don't have to have a ethical objection to how these vaccines were manufactured or created or tested. It's my body, isn't it? Isn't this what the Democrats are always talking? My body, my choice? Oh, no, not when it comes to this. No, you don't get it to make that choice. Because as WTNH.com says in Hartford, Connecticut, they said the big problem is, what if the percentage of vaccinated kids gets low enough that we lose herd immunity? There is no such thing as herd immunity. There's only a herd mentality. You know where that first came up? It came up because you had a guy back in the 1930s, long before there were any vaccine programs for measles or mumps or any of that kind of stuff. You had a guy say, well, you know, look at this. After you get to a certain number of people in the population that have had this, once they've had the disease, they develop lifetime immunity, blah, blah, blah. You start to get That disease starts to pass out of a society. You know, just like when Europeans came to America, diseases that were not a big deal for them and, fairly uncommon, but also not something that was a big deal for them. They came here and it was devastating to the Indians here because they'd never experienced that disease and there wasn't any immunity within the community to that type of disease. But in order for that to work, you have to have lifetime immunity, and you don't have lifetime immunity with these vaccines. They may convey immunity for a year or two. And now that's why they're telling people you got to have the MMR vaccine 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, who knows how many times you got to have it. We've seen people who've been vaccinated multiple times with MMR become patient zero. So there is no such thing as herd immunity from these vaccines, but that's still what they're trying to push on people. And in Virginia, as I pointed out, it's not just your freedom to own guns and to protect yourself, or even your freedom to speak on social media that they hate so much, but they are going to take away any of your health choice there. They are now pushing a bill to require immunizations. And of course, the Virginia bill for now, they go gradually with these types of things, right? For now, they would still give you a religious exemption in Virginia because it's too much to do this all at once. But they're basically going to require this for any kind of students anywhere. And they're leaving this open-ended. So who knows what vaccines and how many they're going to be forcing on kids as a condition of getting an education. That is open-ended. And that's the very dangerous thing about this. And also in this bill, they talk about how the parent, the guardian, or a person standing in loco parentis may have such a child immunized by a physician, physician assistant, so forth and so on. Let me tell you, I haven't seen anybody else question this, but when I see this phrase, this is not somebody who's a guardian. This is not a parent, not a parent or guardian, but it's some other category of somebody, right? In loco parentis, in place of the parents. I've seen this in the past with sex education programs that parents objected to when they were teaching straight sex to kids who were too young to be taught that. And they said, well, when you drop your kid off at the school, you've abandoned them to the state and they act in loco parentis, in place of the parents. When I look at this, this tells me that they're setting this up for the school nurse to be able to decide in loco parentis that they're going to vaccinate your kids because you dropped them off at school. That's the other part of this that's really frightening. Folks, we got a lot of products at InfoWarsStore.com that can help to make you healthier, to build your immune system rather than to tear it down. That's why you see so many people get the flu shot, get sick, because it attacks their immune system. Even if they don't get it from a live vaccine, they are still have their immune system is down. So if you're concerned about flu season, if you're concerned about anything, you need to make sure that your body is in top physical shape. We've got great products at InfoWarsStore.com. We now have DNA Force Plus back in stock, 40% off. We have our vitamin B Ultra 12, that is 40% off. Our vitamin mineral fusion drink mix, that is also 40% off. Or you can get the two of them together, 50% off, InfoWarsStore.com.
This should really be easier than it is. I'm not here giving you a sales pitch. I'm pointing out the way forward, things that I've discovered that I absolutely know work, that if you will listen to me and try them out for yourself, you will see how amazing it is. And then your support of the product we're selling will help you and will help us, and it's symbiotic. My friends, I harp and harp and harp about iodine because it's the good halogen, fluoride's the bad halogen. And people told me about it for years and I didn't listen. And I'm so thankful that finally I listened to Dr. Group like 8 years ago and started taking true iodine, atomic iodine. We've got it back in stock, X2, 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And I'm telling you, folks, get it. It's amazing. Discover the benefits, and it funds the InfoWar, a 360 win. You can't lose unless you don't take action.
The evidence is overwhelming. Coronavirus is a man-made bioweapon designed to destroy nation-states, economies, and free peoples, and usher in a planetary government. This is how the globalists are striking back. Here's a Fortune headline today.
Fears of global coronavirus contagion rage as 3,000 cruise ship passengers return home. And that's just in one nation. Coronavirus deals major blow to German car factories in China. They're reporting it could cut their sales in half this year. That's how major this is. Everyone needs to be prepared. 2020 is not a year to play games. InfoWars will continue to report the latest information as it comes out, regardless of the fact that the establishment will try to punish us for telling the truth. We need you to step to the plate and help spread the word about Band.Video and InfoWars.com today.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. With the power of the First Amendment. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Coming up in the next segment, I'm going to talk a little bit more about Bloomberg, Mini Mike, or maybe what we should do. Since this guy is kind of a classic tyrant, perhaps we ought to have a political cartoon of him dressed up like a Roman dictator, you know, in a robe. You know, I'm sure he'd like to see himself on a statue dressed up as a Caesar, a Kaiser, whatever, you know, with a little, leaves on his head, you know, and, we could title it, Minusculus Tyrannus, the little tyrant. So the thing about Mike Bloomberg, it isn't his height that makes him evil. It's the fact that he has a very small opinion of you. And, we're going to be talking about that. I mean, he's got an army of trolls now because he's 18 points behind in California. He's paying people $2,500 a month, to be, essentially human bots for Bloomberg. You want to sign up for that? The Chinese are doing that now. They've allegedly have 1,600 online trolls to suppress information about the coronavirus. Maybe that was, there he is. Somebody already did that, right? What a surprise. Emperor Bloomberg. Just change the headline on that to, you know, Tyrannus Minusculus and the little tyrant. No, he is going to lord it over you. That's for sure. It doesn't matter what his height is. We're going to talk about his petty ideas. These are ideas that are repeated by all of these people, but it is something that is, you know, rampant within our bureaucracy. And we see this already being applied in China. It's funny how, you know, he threatened people who talked about the crony capitalism and the corruption under President Xi in China. They threatened to destroy their life. They released their story on The Intercept this week and how the Bloomberg organization threatened to come after them. They only backed off when they hired the lawyer that had defended Julian Assange. I meant not Julian Assange, Ed Snowden. And and they said, you're going to destroy our business there. They'll do anything, all right? And that's what is so dangerous about it, because all of these Silicon Valley technocrats, these people, as George Gilder calls them, they're neo-Marxists. And we're going to take another look at what the real context was of this thing that caused so much heat on Bloomberg before the debate. I mean, now he's been hammered left and right by people on the debate the other night. But the beginning of the week, the comments that surfaced about him coming, the condescending remarks that he made about farmers. Yeah, there he is. He's black and bloom. That's the headline of the New York Post. That's a great pun there. He's beaten up with a black eye and he's got bandages all over his face. Prior to the debate, comments that he made about farmers got people really upset. And the left came to his defense. Not necessarily the left. I guess you could say the Democrat establishment came to his defense and said his remarks were taken out of context. And to a degree, they were right. Because it wasn't just that he was hating farmers. He's an equal opportunity hater. You know, he hates every group that isn't him. Everybody is beneath him. As I showed the other day, it's kind of like the French emperor that was played by Mel Brooks in The History of the World Part 2. And I come up to him and say, "Sire, the peasants are revolting." "Yes, I know. They stink." And that's basically Bloomberg, as I played that the other day. But what he was really talking about in context was really the plan by the UN to lock us all in the factories, in the cities, not the factories. There aren't going to be any factories. The factories will be run by their robots. No, they're taking away our jobs, and that's what he was talking about. He said, we've got to keep them pacified so they don't pull out the guillotines. That was the other part of this. See, I really do think, yeah, he does have absolute contempt for farmers, but he has contempt for all of us. And he was talking to elitists about how they're going to control us. We'll be right back.
I have confirmed with high-level sources that President Trump is intending to either pardon Roger Stone after his sentencing or give him clemency, saying the conviction stands, but you now basically don't go to jail. Either way, this is incredibly good news. But let's not forget Julian Assange. That's one of the biggest black marks on Trump, is that he famously said, "I don't know who got the emails. I don't know where they came from. The Russians, a fat dude in his mom's basement, whoever's got them, release them. It's about Hillary committing a crime, not who has the emails. Don't change the subject." Well, Julian Assange undoubtedly took Trump over the top. The WikiLeaks exposed the deep state. The man is a hero. Daniel Ellsberg was a hero. Well, Assange is even a bigger hero, and he's rotting in solitary confinement and at court hearings can barely talk. President Trump, do the right thing and ask the British to release Julian Assange and give him a medal.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Let's talk a little bit about Bloomberg. And I think we ought to say, refer to this as when small men cast long shadows, it indicates that it's sunset for a nation. How does somebody like this kind of arrogant person, and I say that he's a small man because he's got small ideas, not because of his height. Who cares? I don't care what his height is. He may care. He may have a Napoleon complex. I don't know what his issue is. We'll try to get a glimpse of this man's mind. But the contempt that he has for everybody and the idea that only he has the answer, that is the evidence of a small mind. He doesn't respect anybody. He doesn't think that you are his equal. He doesn't believe that all men are created equal by God with equal opportunity and equal rights and so forth. He doesn't believe in God. And so let's talk a little bit. We'll get to what he had to say about the farmers again. But what did he have to say about Native American tribes? We now got something else where he went on air during his third term as mayor of New York City. And that in and of itself is a story I talked about earlier this week. The idea that even though the voters had passed twice a referendum making sure that nobody could serve more than two terms as mayor of New York City, he said, no, we're going to get rid of that, and I'm going to run for a third term because only I can save New York from the mortgage crisis that began, the banking crisis that was 2007, 2008. I have to be there. I have to be the one to fix this. So we're going to get rid of that, and then they put it back in. And what's even more appalling about that is that he placed that crisis in other conversations with other people. He goes, the problem with that was he made loans to poor black people. We needed to not get rid of that redlining. You know, we had neighborhoods that were redlining. We said we're not going to give loans to people in those poor neighborhoods, you know, predominantly black. And so it was the poor black people that created the crisis of 2008. Not the people on Wall Street who lied to them, got them into mortgages that they could not afford, and then who lied to investors who bought those mortgages that they had then put into a blender and turned it into confetti so that you couldn't tell one mortgage from the other one and sold it as a package. Those are Bloomberg's friends. Those are his friends on Wall Street who did that. No, no, no. It was the poor blacks who created the economic crisis, not the Wall Street people like Bloomberg. So let's play video clip number 5, where he's talking about how the governor there needed to confront these Indians with a cowboy hat and a shotgun. Maybe you could just throw a smallpox blanket on them, too, while you're at it, right? Because these are Indian tribes who said, no, we have sovereignty, and you're not going to impose your tobacco taxes on us. Here's Bloomberg, video clip number 5.
And then the other back doorway is through the Shinnecock Indians or
Welsh. Well, that's still controversial. If it's on an Indian reservation, Indian reservations are technically not part of the United States. They're independent countries because of treaties signed back when, although some state laws apply. We're having a battle, or the governor's having a battle, as all governors have in New York, about cigarettes, bootleg cigarettes going through Indian reservations. And there was an article today in the Buffalo News, which I know you read all the time.
Don't miss it.
There's one of the state laws is trying to stop the reservation from selling cigarettes by using the U.S. mails, and the Indians sued, and the judge said no, it's legal, and the appeals court said it's legal. But this will be a battle played out, and I think the story is that there was some tires burnt in the middle of one of the upstate superhighways in New York.
Yeah, I think it was the New York State Thruway. This goes back in the Pataki administration.
And the Indians said, you know, we're going to shut down the roads if you don't let us continue to sell cigarettes without taxes. Now, why every governor? I said that to David Patterson. I said, you know, get yourself a cowboy hat and a shotgun. If there's ever a great video, it's you standing in the middle of the New York State Thruway saying, you know, read my lips. The law of the land is this, and we're going to enforce the law. But just think about it.
No, it's actually not the law of the land because it's not your land, Bloomberg. And you know what the law – he began – these are the things you have to focus on in what he just said. First of all, he knows what the law is. He knows that these Indian reservations are sovereign nations, right? But he didn't care. He doesn't care what the law is. And he also knows that they had, back in 1992, when they tried to impose a sales tax on Indian reservations, it resulted in New York's Seneca tribe burning tires on highway overpasses in a confrontation with state police. He doesn't care about that either. So he doesn't care about the law. He doesn't care about history. He doesn't care about the idea that you're going to have a violent confrontation between the Indians and the police. As a matter of fact, he's encouraging that. Yeah, go there with a shotgun and a cowboy hat. And let's put that on the news, right? That is the arrogance of this guy. He says, come on, you just do it, he says to the governor. You just do it. Let the federal government sue us. This is an outrage. If you and I should pay taxes, everybody should pay taxes. Does he really pay taxes? I don't think so. He's probably like Jeff Bezos and the rest of these people, right? Everybody should pay taxes. This is just a scam to get around taxes. The cigarettes are killing our people. So that's what he really wants to do. He really wants to control that. Which basically, I mean, you know, I look at this and I think about what happened to Eric Gardner. He was selling Lucy's, individual cigarettes, loose cigarettes instead of packs. Why was he doing that? Well, because the taxes are so high in New York, thanks to people like Bloomberg on tobacco. They know better than you. And so you had Eric Gardner that was doing it, and he'd had a lot of confrontation with the police, and I don't know if he what happened at that point, but essentially it put a chokehold on him and killed him. What was his big crime? Well, he was selling tobacco. So, you know, when you say that we're just going to get on a cowboy hat and a shotgun, they kill people over tobacco taxes because, you know, they're trying to save your life, that type of thing, yeah. As Nolte on Breitbart points out, the fascist history of Michael Bloomberg, a tiny tyrant, as I said, Minusculus Tyrannus, a fascist authoritarian, a tyrant determined to control everybody else's life, a person with an authoritarian streak as frightening enough in your everyday walk of life as a family member, a neighbor, or heaven forbid, a boss, and as frightening as a mayor. But imagine this person as president. You want to leave the country? Well, like all left-wing tyrants, Stalin, Hitler, Mao, Michael Bloomberg arrives bursting with good intentions. He only wants to help, you see. He only wants to make the world a better place, you see. He knows what's best for you. And he understands that you're either too stupid to know what's best for you, or you're too undisciplined to do what's best for you. So he's going to take care of you by creating laws, lots and lots and lots of laws. He is nothing but a busybody, a tyrant, a rabid authoritarian, an egomaniac. He will force the rest of us to sacrifice our guns, our air conditioners, our privacy, our meat, our salt, our sugar. And as you just saw earlier this week, if you're of a certain age, he will have you sacrifice your health care because, you know, you're expendable. He was the perfect mayor, writes Nolte, the perfect mayor of New York City, a city full of left-wing sheep who love living under a tyrant and love having a nanny tell them what to do. And so as he's campaigning to be dictator of the United States, he wants a 48-hour waiting period on gun purchases. I tweeted this out on my Twitter account, Libertarian. Take a look, sign up, and make sure if you think that you're following me, make sure that you really are, because they, after nagging my wife to turn off notifications from me for the longest time because she retweeted me, they finally just unfollowed me from her account. They had me unfollow Rob Dew as well. I mean, it's just, so you may think that you're following me, and maybe you're not. Maybe you're not getting those notifications. Maybe you're not seeing anything, but that's the way Twitter works. As I pointed out, though, as we see all of his past quotes, and he wants a 48-hour waiting period on gun purchases, maybe you ought to put a 48-hour waiting period on his mouth before he shoots it off again. But, you know, the reality of this is you can think of these waiting periods as really a restraining order that's put on a potential victim, not on the potential assailant, but these waiting lists are a restraining order on the victim from being able to protect themselves.
We know that the globalists are in trouble. Humanity's waking up to their tyranny, how they run their scams, their Ponzi schemes, how they're building a post-human world. But we know they're going to strike back. And the UN has said that they're going to absolutely implode third world countries and then use those giant populations as weaponized hordes to come in and overwhelm the West and collapse our social services in a giant Cloward and Piven program. The UN also has said they'll use mass plagues to make us capitulate to world government inner coronavirus. This is a critical year, and it's a critical time to stay informed and to be spreading the word, because people are waking up like never before. But this fight against tyranny is neck and neck, so spread the word about band.video and infowars.com/show. That is so important. You are at the center of the resistance. You are our only hope.
Before I started working at InfoWars, I was not only a fan of Alex Jones and InfoWars.com, but also the products at InfoWarsStore.com. And there's one product that's offered at InfoWarsStore.com that is the elite of the supplements, and that's DNA Force Plus. Now, I remember when Alex first started talking about this with some of his special guests, telomeres and telomere support with your DNA. And so I started to look into the science and what telomeres were, and how it can improve your health and longevity when you protect your telomeres. So I started looking into DNA Force Plus, but it's expensive. Why? Because it is an elite supplement. And then I started seeing other competitors coming up with competitive supplements for telomere support, and they came and they went. But DNA Force Plus is still there. It is the elite supplement. I get excited when DNA Force Plus is on sale because I know it's expensive. So you should take advantage of 50% off DNA Force Plus at InfoWarsStore.com.
Alex Jones here with two big announcements. Ultra 12 and Viva Mineral Fusion are both back in stock after being sold out for months. Vitamin Mineral Fusion is high quality vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and other key cofactors that are so good for you and your family, especially your children's bodies and your immune systems. Ultra 12 is the highest quality vitamin B12 taken sublingually under the tongue. It is back in stock. You can get them both individually for 40% off right now and get them together as a combo for 50% off. This makes your life so much better when you have a good multivitamin mineral that you actually absorb and as a tasty fruit punch. And of course, vitamin B12 is the bedrock foundation of energy, stamina, libido, just everything. And they're both back in stock, 40% off individually or 50% off when you get them together at InfoWarsStore.com.
Real stuff, man. We're talking about the real deal here. And I love Trump all day long, but, man, I tell you, he sits here and lets these big tech people keep running roughshod over him. Everybody, I mean, I've got a problem. And we'll just take the Trump rallies over. That said, about 2 months ago, I came up with a plan that I haven't launched yet. We have a warehouse full of hundreds of thousands of stickers, 20 different stickers. Impeach the Democrats, save the Second Amendment, defend the First Amendment, Infowars.com. And it looks like duct tape, but it's just a regular sticker. You put it over your mouth, you go to a Trump rally, and you instantly take over without even disrupting things. People say, why are you doing this? What's happening? Well, you go, well, we're being censored, and, you know, Trump won't do anything about it. And Dr. Pechenik, let me just ask you what you think, because I've not launched this yet.
It's brilliant. You've taken the very element that they try to repress you with, that silence, and made it into a weapon. You have the loudest sound of all, silence. And you know what's most disturbing to people? Silence. 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 Silence.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're just talking about Michael Bloomberg, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Michael Bloomberg. And I want to start with a tweet that he put out after the debate, because you saw the picture from the New York Post, and it's pretty accurate. They show Bloomberg with a big lump on his forehead, a black eye, bandages in multiple places, and they call it Black and Bloom. Warren leads the brutal Mike beatdown. As Piers Morgan said, he said they threw him up against the wall, stopped and frisked him, and then beat him to a pulp. But after the debate, he's got his own spin that he put out. He put out a tweet. He had, again, as I pointed out, you find out in that debate why this guy was hiding out behind the curtain. Just like the Wizard of Oz, you know, you get this big projection of who Michael Bloomberg is. A big projection that is fueled by slick TV ads, $400 million just so far. And then you pull back the curtain and you see the actual person that's there. Not too impressive. And so now he's got those masters of spin working on putting a spin on the debate. And here's what he put up. I think you're going to find this interesting. Video clip number 3.
I'm the only one here that I think that's ever started a business. Is that fair? Okay.
Cutting from one candidate to the other, you know, you see Elizabeth Warren start to raise her hand and then put it down, and you see Bernie Sanders go, you know, just kind of blow out. You heard that if you're listening to that on a podcast. And by the way, we have a lot of people listen to the podcast. You can find that at iTunes and iHeart, many other places. The show is put up as a podcast if you want to listen that way. Nevertheless, we go back and look at that. He's getting a lot of criticism from the left. They say, you created that. And he did, and I think it's pretty obvious that he did. I mean, you know, there wasn't, you're not going to have that much silence when you've got six politicians on stage. Somebody's going to start yapping, probably all of them right away. But he made his point, quite frankly, and I kind of like that commercial, because it shows that all of those people on stage have not done anything. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Nada. You know, Bernie Sanders didn't have a steady paycheck till he's in his 40s, and then he started writing softcore porn, or maybe it was a little not quite so soft for people. Then he weaseled his way into politics. But they haven't done anything in terms of starting a business, which is a big difference. I mean, look at Elizabeth Warren. Yeah, she's had a lot of academic positions that she got because she paraded herself as a protected minority group that she isn't. She did that here in Texas. She did it up in Harvard and so forth. So, yeah, they are a bunch of phonies. But he still did edit that together in order to get that long pause. I think it's pretty obvious that he did that, and I think he made his point. But when we look at Bloomberg and the way that his massive organization, and, of course, Bloomberg, the the publication Babylon Bee, and their satire puts it this way. Bloomberg editorial board endorses Mike Bloomberg. Yes, big news flash, right? They said they're not going to say anything negative about him. And then they said, well, be fair. We won't say anything negative about the other Democrats either, but we will come after President Trump. And the satire piece on Babylon Bee, they said, he's a really swell guy, wrote the editorial team. We always have a good time when good old Mike is around. He loves dogs and children love him also. And then they listed some of his greatest accomplishments. Bringing police officers and black people together. Eradicating soda drinking from the galaxy. Winning World War I, winning World War II, and winning World War III. That's all but guaranteed to happen. Yeah, those are some of his accomplishments. The left is saying that, you know, just like they're complaining, well, you took that commercial that you put together on Twitter. That's out of context. And they said the same thing about his nasty remarks about farmers that got a lot of people rightfully upset. And I think they do have a point. I think his remarks were taken somewhat out of context. So let's put them in context, because in context, they're even worse. Because what he was saying when he talked to this group of people in Oxford, he said, if you think about it, agrarian society lasted for 3,000 years. And we could teach that to people. You know, I could even teach that to anybody in this room. How to be a farmer. You dig a hole, you put a seed in, you put dirt on top of it, you add water, and up comes the corn. You could learn that. And everybody said, you just, you know, trivialize this. And he did. Major trivialization of what farmers do. And then he goes, but then you had 300 years of the industrial society. You put a piece of metal on the lathe, you turn the crank in the direction of the arrow, and you have a job. And we create a lot of jobs. At one point, 98% of the world worked in agriculture. Today, it's only 2% in the U.S. Now comes the information economy. Now, see, it was very easy to be a farmer. Nothing to it. It was very easy to work in the industrial revolution. Nothing to it. We could learn those skills, too. But information technology? Oh, no. This is something that only the technocratic elite can understand. And he's very concerned that you're not going to be able to understand this. So how are they going to control you? Because they're going to take your jobs. That's what he's saying. This is the real context. And that's what I said the other day. I said, they're getting upset about what he says about farmers, and they ought to be upset about this. But you need to understand that Michael Bloomberg and the people in Silicon Valley hate all of us. They don't care if we're farmers. They don't hate us because we're farmers. They hate us because we're humans. Because we compete with them. Because they want to dominate us. Because they want to own everything. And they want to turn each and every one of us into renters, into sharecroppers, into serfs, into slaves, and they want to get rid of us because they're concerned that there's too many of us, and we might come around with, as he points out in this very speech, with guillotines. That's what how he refers to it. Let's go on with this. There's a real context, and it's even more damning than what he said about the farmers. He said, now comes the information economy. The information economy. He repeats it for emphasis. He says, it's fundamentally different. Why is it different? Because the information economy is built around replacing people with technology. Yeah. You're not going to have a job. And so how do we keep you, how do we keep these people pacified? It's not clear that teachers can teach or students can learn. And so the challenge of society is finding jobs for these people who they have taken your jobs. Who can take care of giving them a roof over their head, a meal in their stomach, a cell phone, and a car, and that sort of thing. Well, we have to come up with something like that, he said. The thing that will stop them from setting up a guillotine someday. Yeah. Yeah, how are they going to do that? That's why all these people are getting into universal basic income, because their plan is to keep you pacified so they can do a soft kill. How do they keep you pacified? They lock you into the cities. They do it by 2030. We got less than 10 years for these people to put their plan together. And these people are very, very accomplished. Let's understand. He is very smart. He is very clever. He's very dangerous. The UN, and this is being adopted by all these people who have no authority, but they have a great deal of force. They're going to force you into the cities. They're going to force you into small apartments. They're going to force you to give up your car. They're going to force you to give up your meat. They're going to force you out of your job. And then the question for them, the only question for them is, how do they control you until they can kill you softly? Killing you softly. You get Roberta Flack on that. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
At the end of World War II, Adolf Hitler had discredited the eugenics and world population control organizations. They openly had meetings and, led by Julian Huxley, Aldous Huxley's brother, decided to repackage themselves as transhumanist. Now in the year 2020, to set the precedent that people can be turned into cyborgs, that robots can be given rights, you name it, they are intimidating and arresting people all over the world who simply misgender someone. So the ultimate crime will be even asking what someone is if you can't even tell what they are. This is the ultimate Kafkaesque mind control. And there's several big articles up on Infowars.com that break this down. UK teen fined under house arrest for asking trans police officers gender. UK mother spared jail for misgendering trans woman, ordered to pay £1,000 fine.
I want to talk about Super Silver whitening toothpaste because I hadn't tried it except for maybe the last week and a half. And I told Alex, I said, man, this is the best toothpaste I've ever tried. He's like, well, what are you doing just sitting in here telling me? You got to get up there and tell people. And so here I am telling people Super Silver whitening toothpaste is by far the best toothpaste I've ever tried. And I'm 45 years old and I've tried a lot of different toothpaste and it's fluoride free. I think the big difference, the game changer in this is the coral calcium, because after I brush my teeth with this, they feel so clean, and the toothpaste, that I don't even like rinse out my mouth after I brush my teeth with this. It feels so good. It feels like good things are happening in my mouth. In fact, I find myself brushing my teeth 3 to 4 times a day rather than just twice a day now because I like the way it feels.
There's roughly only 260 days left until the 2020 election, and already you've seen all sorts of crazy things happen. The globalists are trying to plunge the economy. They're trying to start wars. They're trying to overthrow the president. They're trying to silence free speech. They're trying to trigger riots in the streets, but everything they do is blowing up in their face. We the people have to pray, stay focused, be involved, keep spreading the word, keep countering their lies, and we have to be prepared in case things go south. That's why it's so critical to go to InfoWarsStore.com and stock up on high-quality preparedness items, from storable foods, high-quality water filtration, air filtration, to the very best supplements and silver products you're going to find. They're all available at InfoWarsStore.com, and your purchase there not only ensures high-quality products for you and your family at great prices, but it funds the InfoWar in this critical time. A total, complete, absolute 360 win. Every point of the compass is covered. The only way we can be defeated is if you don't take action. Get high-quality products at InfoWarsStore.com today. 3 weeks ago, we told you that the Pentagon had set up secret quarantine centers for the coronavirus and that they believed it was much more serious than we were being told. Now we know that that is the case. And we know the federal government and major corporations have been buying up all the major storable food supplies around the country. Almost everyone else is sold out. But our supplier, My Patriot, at InfoWarsStore.com, still has their entire line of high-quality, fresh food. And it's fresh. That's why you have to wait 10 to 14 days for it to get delivered. Not because they don't have the food, but because they've got to package it and their factories are going 24 hours a day. High quality, fresh food, the best package systems, tastes great, protects you and your family, and funds the InfoWar. You just got to get the orders in until they extend it out even more, which could happen. Lock in your orders now, ensure you get it at InfoWarsStore.com today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. You're listening to The David Knight Show. Decoding the mainstream propaganda. It's The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I was just talking about Michael Bloomberg's comments. And again, he does hate farmers. He does hate mechanics. He hates poor black people. He hates Indians. I mean, he hates everybody. But what he was saying, his remarks really were taken out of context. If you put them in context, they're even more damning, even more scary. Because what he was telling those people, He's talking about the Industrial Revolution, and prior to that, the Agrarian Society. And he said, now we're coming into the Information Society, and the whole point of that is to replace people's jobs with technology, and we got to be careful how we do that so they don't come after us with guillotines. And you can see right here, MGM seeks to replace 2,000 workers with robots by 2020. By 2020, not 2030, 2020. It's already on, folks, and they've got a set date where they want this to happen. The only good thing about this, and there's a couple of good things about this, or it may not go through. I mean, you know, as I said earlier today, you see the Iranian regime is planning to destroy the tomb of Esther and Mordecai. You know, there were some Persians who had a plan to destroy Esther and Mordecai themselves at one point in time. And God laughed, okay? And so when we look at this, sometimes it's their very arrogance that dooms them. And a lot of people have said, you know, that's the problem with Bloomberg. He showed up and he really wasn't prepared. That's why he got beaten and battered so badly on there. He really wasn't prepared. That's arrogance. That's arrogance. And a good example of this, too, is when we look at these elitists who seek to tell us what to do. As a matter of fact, I got a video of this hack. Let's play this video. We've got some hackers who trick a Tesla into breaking the speed limit by 50 miles per hour just with a couple of inches of tape. See, sometimes these guys who have such well-laid plans, like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos or Michael Bloomberg, sometimes they just don't see the little things, like a little two-inch piece of tape. Let's run that video.
As we can see, Shivangi is holding up our adversarial 35-mile-per-hour speed limit sign with a small piece of black tape as the only modification.
Okay.
We start the car moving forwards, and the Mobileye camera immediately incorrectly identifies an 85-mile-an-hour speed limit sign. Now we engage traffic-aware cruise control, and with our feet entirely off the gas and brake pedals, the Tesla begins to accelerate to 85 miles per hour. We cut it short at approximately 50 miles per hour for safety reasons.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to go faster than 50. Well, yeah, that's exactly how it works. And, you know, they use vision systems, which is one of the reasons why you've seen these Teslas go full speed under a semi-trailer that is turning in front of them. Yeah, I didn't see it. Glare got in my eyes or whatever. So the thing that may save us is their very arrogance. But actually, no, the thing that's going to save us is God, not even their arrogance. And there's a great, you know, as I tried to read it the other day, and I got choked up because it was something by Paul Harvey. So God Made a Farmer. And I read that. It's a very sentimental, touching piece. But I was choked up more than anything thinking about Paul Harvey and the America that was. So there's a satire piece that's excellent on the Federalist by a guy named Sean Davis. And he calls it, So God Made a Bloomberg. So stand by for news. And here's what he has to say. On the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a tiny soulless technocrat or a Democrat to tell everyone how to live their lives. So God made a Bloomberg. God said, I need a know-it-all Wall Street banker. Who made more money by getting fired, and I'll tell you about that in just a second, made more money by getting fired than most men will make their entire lives working an honest job. So God made a Bloomberg. I need somebody with hands strong enough to carry a stool and a booster seat wherever he goes, but gentle enough to sign the voter registration papers as a Democrat, then as a Republican, then as an independent, and then as a Democrat again. Somebody who would tell a female employee to kill her own baby so she could work longer hours. Who would tell a grieving family that it's a waste to give medical care to old people. Or to a farmer that growing food is easy, that any idiot with half a brain could manage it. Someone who could tell a mother that parenting was just as simple as hiring some black woman who doesn't even have to speak English to raise her dumb kid. So God made a Bloomberg. God said, I need somebody willing to randomly accost black men for no good reason other than having the wrong color skin. I need somebody who will say that the best way to reduce crime is to target black kids and throw them up against the wall and frisk them for crime of being black. Someone who will brag that one side effect of putting all the cops in the minority neighborhoods, quote-unquote, is that you end up, quote, arresting kids for marijuana that are all minorities, unquote. So God made a Bloomberg. I need somebody willing to tell those awful poors that they need to be disproportionately taxed for their own good because they're too stupid to know what's good for them. Somebody who'll ban the sale of 32-ounce fountain drinks, but not the sale of two 16-ounce sodas. The loophole. And he ought to know that because this is a guy who, you know, became very rich by exploiting loopholes. So, you know, hey, you can't buy 32-ounce, but you can get two 16s, okay, and drink them sequentially. That's not called tax evasion. That's tax avoidance if you're a Wall Street broker. Anyway, but you can buy two 16-ounce sodas because everyone knows sugary syrup from a single cup is way worse for you than sugary syrup from two smaller cups. Plus, it's not like Fatty Bloom Bilardi all over there has the self-control to put down the big gulp himself. So God made a Bloomberg. God had to have somebody willing to forcefully remove black guns from black hands because, quote, they just don't have any long-term focus or anything, unquote. Somebody who thought the best way to reduce crime was to take the description of, quote, male minority 16 to 25 and Xerox it and pass it out to all the cops. So God made a Bloomberg. God said, I need somebody with no charm, no charisma, no compelling reason to ever serve in government to nonetheless buy his way onto the ballot, then buy his way into the mayor's office, then buy off the city council to eliminate the two-term limit on mayoral service, and then I need him to spend nine figures buying his way into the Democrat primary, because it'd be nothing more hilarious than watching a broken-down old socialist get robbed again by yet another New York crony who is the life-size poster child for everything that's wrong with modern capitalism. So God made a Bloomberg. And when he referenced the fact that he made more money by getting fired than most people make in their entire lifetime, here's chapter one of a book that's called Bloomberg by Bloomberg. Yes, this is Bloomberg talking about himself. No, this is not written by his alter ego. It's written by his giant ego. He wrote it himself about himself. By Michael Bloomberg. You can buy it from John Wiley & Sons. It begins with Chapter 1, The Last Supper. Does this guy not only have a Napoleon complex, but a messianic complex as well? The Thrill of Getting Fired, Tarrytown, 1981. So there I was, 39 years old and essentially hearing, here's $10 million, your history. Oh, poor thing. Isn't that hard? One summer morning, John Gutfreund, managing partner of Wall Street's hottest firm, and Henry Kaufman, then the world's most influential economist, told me that my life at Salomon Brothers was finished. Time for you to leave, said John. On Saturday, August the 1st, 1981, I was terminated from the only full-time job I'd ever known and from the high-pressure life that I loved. This after 15 years of 12-hour days and six-day weeks. Out. For a decade and a half, I'd been an integral part of the country's most successful securities trading firm, even of Wall Street itself. And not just in my head, if the press were to be believed. It was in everyone's opinion. This guy is an egomaniac, isn't he? Suddenly, though needed no longer, I was a general partner, an owner rather than an employer. But nevertheless, I was fired. I wasn't going to know what was happening. I wasn't going to be making decisions. I wasn't going to be sharing in my company's profits because it wasn't my company anymore. The horror. Being turned out on the street with nothing but a $10 million check. Please, Alex, give me a $10 million check and fire me. I mean, what a hard life this guy's had. And it was his last supper before these guys crucified him with a $10 million check. Unbelievable, the gigantic ego of this tiny mind. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Real stuff, man. We're talking about the real deal here. And I love Trump all day long, but, man, I tell you, he sits here and lets these big tech people keep running roughshod over him. Everybody, I've got a problem. And we'll just take the Trump rallies over. That said, about 2 months ago, I came up with a plan that I haven't launched yet. We have a warehouse full of hundreds of thousands of stickers, 20 different stickers. Impeach the Democrats, save the Second Amendment, defend the First Amendment, Infowars.com. And it looks like duct tape, but it's just a regular sticker. You put it over your mouth, you go to a Trump rally, and you instantly take over without even disrupting things. People say, why are you doing this? What's happening? Well, you go, well, we're being censored, and, you know, Trump won't do anything about it. And Dr. Pechenik, let me just ask you what you think, because I've not launched this yet.
It's brilliant. You've taken the very element that they try to repress you with, that silence, and made it into a weapon. You have the loudest sound of all, silence. And you know what's most disturbing to people?
Silence.
Across the Western world, from high school to college sports to even the Olympics, men, biological men, are winning almost all of the sporting events. This is men invading women's spaces and bullying them and taking their rights away. All in the name of liberalism and openness. And then every day, I have stacks of news articles, just like today. UK teen fined under house arrest for asking trans police officers gender and it hurt their feelings. UK mother spared jail for misgendering trans woman ordered to pay £1,000 fine because it could have caused anxiety in the new royalty. That's the thought police. If a leftist has their feelings hurt for any reason, you get fined and you go to jail. This is tyranny. These people are bullies, and it's sick, and it's evil, and it's part of a scientific anti-human takeover. Resist it. Speak out against it. The evidence is overwhelming. Coronavirus is a man-made bioweapon designed to destroy nation states, economies, and free peoples, and usher in a planetary government. This is how the globalists are striking back. Here's a Fortune headline today. Fears of global coronavirus contagion rage as 3,000 cruise ship passengers return home. And that's just in one nation. Coronavirus deals major blow to German car factories in China. They're reporting it could cut their sales in half this year. That's how major this is. Everyone needs to be prepared. 2020 is not a year to play games. InfoWars will continue to report the latest information as it comes out, regardless of the fact that the establishment will try to punish us for telling the truth. We need you to step to the plate and help spread the word about Band.Video and InfoWars.com today. There can no longer be any doubt. This coronavirus is serious on multiple levels. It's very communicable. It spreads very, very fast. It is killing a lot of people. And the Chinese Communist government has covered up just how bad it is. And the White House is now openly challenging them. So are Trump's top scientist, and so is Senator Cotton. My friends, now is the time to get prepared. 2020 is not a year to play games with. The globalists are trying to create economic collapse, race riots. We don't know how bad this virus is going to get here. That's why listeners to InfoWars need to be prepared. And InfoWarsStore.com has the products that make your life better and make you healthier. We have the last of the immune gargle selling out as we speak. We have high-quality storable foods ready to ship. And Vitamin Mineral Fusion is back in stock along with Ultra 12 at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're just talking about Bloomberg and his high opinion of himself. As I said, he is a very small man. He's a small man because, you know, he is somebody who wants to be God, quite frankly. He's got a very small opinion of other people. You show me a man with a small God, and I will show you a small man. You see, Bloomberg is even worse than that. Bloomberg doesn't have a God. You know, Bloomberg thinks that he's going to be God. He wants to be God. And that's a very dangerous man. Not just a small man. That's a dangerous man. I say somebody with a small God is a small man because they don't dare do things that people with a big God can do, right? And, but it's very dangerous to have a man who thinks that he's God or wants to be God. And, they become a totalitarian. They think just like Bloomberg does. And he's probably the best example of that in one individual that we have in our country. Somebody who decides that they can manage every detail of your life from a central position. If you centralize all authority, and if that authority, that centralized authority, manages every aspect of your life, that is by definition totalitarianism. And he is a totalitarian. And he seeks to do that at the national level as well. But I got to say that, you know, it's not just, even though that totalitarian ideal is personified in Bloomberg, it's not something that we haven't already embraced here in America. We have had the left demanding that government be God. I call it Godverment. I've mentioned that many times. You know, when you take the three attributes of God, omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, present in every aspect of our life, and omniscient, knowing everything about our lives, that's what's being ushered in now with the technological surveillance, the internet panopticon, that kind of omniscience. They've been omnipotent for quite a while, essentially. And they've been insinuating themselves into every aspect of our lives in an omnipresent way. But now they're getting omniscience as well. That's a very dangerous thing. This government is quite literally making itself into a god. And the problem is that the liberals worship that idol. They want government to be that way. And I would suggest to you that many conservatives do as well. Because whenever we've got a big problem, even if it's just trying to control the left, we always want that to be done by the federal government, don't we? We always want the central government to save us, even if they're going to save us from big government. Think about that for a while, okay? Is that an oxymoron or not? I need more power, and I need the right guy in Washington, one individual who is going to save me from concentrated power. So we need to think about what we are doing as conservatives. Are we falling in the same trap as the liberals? We don't hear anymore, you know, don't make a federal case out of it, because everybody, conservative and liberal, wants to make a federal case out of everything. And so, you know, when we look at this, and as I mentioned a couple of times on this program, and it kind of hit home because I was just studying Esther, the book of Esther in the Bible. The fact that you've got people in Iran, which is where the Persian Empire used to be, who want to remove the monument to Esther and Mordecai, the tomb. I don't know if they're buried there or not. Traditionally, it says that they are. But, you know, the story is that you had this guy who was an Amalekite. I guess you could say he's a Palestinian, because they want to turn this over, interestingly enough. and they want to destroy the tomb, and they want to make it a consular office for Palestine. But, you know, it was a guy who was an Amalekite, and he hated the Jews, and he wanted to eradicate all of them, and he was in a pretty good place to do it. He was a high government official. And the Persian Empire pretty much ruled the world at that point in time. I mean, go back and take a look at the 300, you know, that story about Sparta, so forth. Well, where did they held them off at Thermopylae? They ultimately did not defeat them, of course. They were defeated in a naval battle after that. But they were defeated, big defeat. You know, the Persian army, they decided they were going to rule the world. They did pretty much have a worldwide empire at the time, so they could have pretty much eradicated all Jews at that point in time. But there was an interesting change of events. The famous quote out of that, for such a time as this, the question is, what is our time? Who is it that hates us today? Who is it that is trying to destroy not just Jews, but pretty much everybody? That's what I was talking about, the real context of what Bloomberg is talking about. The technocratic elite, these globalists, who have a power for, have the power, if they're not stopped, they have the power to radically reduce the population, and that is their stated purpose. They've already put out the decrees. You just have to read them. And we've read them. I've read them. You have to understand what their plan is. You have to understand what their tactic is. And you better get on your knees. Because these are people who really hate us, and they can pull this off. You have stood with us as these same people have basically made us patient zero in terms of shutting down your speech and what you're able to see. If you can shut down people's ability to communicate, if you can shut down their ability to move, and that's what they're working on with the smart cities and with the takeover of our transportation and so forth, and if you can take away their ability to shoot, communication, movement, and shoot. You control those three things, you control people. It is a plan for warfare, and it is a plan for which they have a set date, 2030. And when you look at what else they hate, this is an article that was on Zero Hedge, and I thought it was kind of interesting. TheMindUnleashed.com, Elias Merritt, and it says, and it was kind of a mocking article of Christians. After Twitter poll goes badly awry, a Christian group blames Satan. It went hilariously off the rail, he said. Well, I don't think so. I think it shows the visceral hatred and intolerance that is being cultivated in our society and cultivated in a good example of that in this particular article, for example. Said, while the group has only a humble 277 followers on Twitter, they put out a poll. And over 106,000 people replied, with overwhelmingly 93.7% of the vote responding decisively no to the question, do you believe America would be better off if more Christians served in elected office? And so they had 94% of the people say no. 106,000 people participated in the poll, and this was obviously passed around, especially if you look at the comments of people who really had a severe anti-Christian bigotry and were calling for religious persecution. And so they will go on in this article to characterize this National Association of Christian Lawmakers. They say, well, it's formed by this far-right Arkansas senator, and the group includes anti-gay extremist Tony Perkins. Why would they say that? Tony Perkins is not an anti-gay extremist. The people who put this in this article, basically putting out the same lies that the Southern Poverty Law Center said, they said that Tony Perkins and the Family Research Center were a hate group. Remember when they got that guy who read that? He took some Chick-fil-A sandwiches because he thought, well, they'll let me in with Chick-fil-A sandwiches, and had guns, and he wanted to go in and kill everybody. And he did shoot the guard, but the guard was able to stop him. So they were called anti-gay extremists. They were called hateful simply because they believe what God said, that marriage is between one man and one woman. And this was even before the Supreme Court came up with this new definition of marriage. But that makes you, according to this person, an anti-gay extremist. And they thought it was hilarious that these people got on Twitter and exhibited their anti-Christian bigotry and hatred and prejudice. And that is kind of the world that we live in. As a matter of fact, this guy who started last February, Pizza Place advertised a concert for a sludge metal band called I Hate God, E-Y-E, Hate God. They had a photoshopped flyer depicting the senator devouring an infant. Yeah, see, that's they are just loving people, aren't they? Loving people. All right, folks, we got it. We're about at the end of the program, about at the end of the week for this program. And when we look at what is happening here with the coronavirus, you know, we've got the largest container shipping company in the world, Maersk. And they're now putting out warnings about what's going on with the coronavirus. This is having real effects on our economy, and we hope that it doesn't have a real effect on our health as well. You want to make sure that you have prepared for this. Like I said, my greatest fears are to be swooped up into a so-called quarantine, which turns into an incubator. And I want to make sure that my family is protected with the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We've got a lot of things that are going to help you to avoid infection. We have the nano silver products that help to fight bacteria as well as virus. We also have water filters. Make sure that in an emergency you always have clean, filtered water. I mean, we use it on a daily basis in my home because we never know when the water is going to be contaminated, right? And you want to make sure that you've ordered your food. And as I pointed out, you know, you've got Apple saying we're getting shortages. You got Maersk, the largest container company in the world, saying we're going to have shortages. And our supplier is now telling us that things are getting very difficult for storable food nationwide. They said they're looking at a 5 to 10% increase on every option of emergency food available right now because of our long-term contracts. We still have the prices that we've had before. So make sure you move on this before we are forced to go up on our price. Right now, you should be able to get your order within 10 to 14 days. However, this is getting longer with every passing minute. Make sure you look at the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com, especially storable food, InfoWarsStore.com.